United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon. Oh, good afternoon, see?
Where you at?
Well, it is 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's good afternoons, because I guess we didn't realize that it's good afternoons.
I'm still yawning.
No. Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Jeff and I are here in the studio. It's a new day. It's a new time for us. I want to thank Jeff and all of them for sticking with me while I've been gone. I was out ill. And, you don't know how things are going to work when you get flat on your back and you can't do anything. So I want to thank them for stepping up and pinch hitting and making it happen and making sure I have a show when I got back here. And hopefully I'll be able to make it through the week.
Who are you and what are you doing here?
I know. I'm here. I thought you knew. I'm here. It's all good.
Okay.
Diva's out there. I see we got my private caller right there. And so they're coming in. Our local callers are coming in. Hey, Diva. I know she's out there. I saw her. So the number again is 347-945-5229. Hey, I got something to tell you, Jeff.
Nobody's up, that's why.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
You know, I forget. I haven't been here in a while. Hey, Diva. I haven't been here in a while. What do you want? It's been like 3 weeks. We're into the second week of January, and I haven't been here, I think, since Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a little while.
Thank God you're back.
I know, because I know Jeff has been acting bad, hasn't he?
Oh, he is such a dictator. I swear. I call him dictator in a chair.
I know. I try to, you know, I know. Because he's always right. You know that. Don't you know that, right?
I'm ready to come up to Youngstown and strangle him. That's
you should have done
that.
And strangle me.
Because I can see that. Absolutely.
Strangle.
Absolutely. Hey, guess what? Can you tell me how the 49ers went all the way to Wisconsin in the cold yesterday and whipped up on Wisconsin?
Green Bay
Packers. Can you explain that to me? Do you know how warm it is in San Francisco compared to where they were playing yesterday?
Can you say we're going to the Super Bowl again from Youngstown?
I'm just saying. I mean, just tell me, how in the world, do you know how cold it was there yesterday?
You know what?
And do you know how crazy people are in Wisconsin? Do you know only crazy people sit out in the cold like that?
Yeah, the cheesehead is crazy up there, but you know what? They love doing what they do.
Doing what they do. Do you know how cold it is? 50 below?
Mm-hmm.
And they sat out freely? As a matter of fact, they paid to sit outside.
Maybe they couldn't move.
No, they got in their car and went, and then they had nerve. Some of them wanted to tailgate. Do you know how cold it is?
Yeah.
And they have an open stadium.
You know what? I experienced, what was it, in 1985, we had a little 20 below zero.
Mm-hmm.
Here, were you here in 85?
Mm-mm.
Okay, you were still in Cali.
I was somewhere warm.
Yeah, you were in Cali.
If the airlines weren't so jacked up right now, it wasn't cold everywhere else, I'd leave now, but it's kind of cold. They got cold in Jacksonville, Florida, I think.
It's like 18 degrees or something.
Diva,
like that.
Can you say global warming doesn't exist?
No. I firmly believe in climate change.
Yeah, I do too.
Climate change is one thing. Global warming is another. They said it was warming.
The climate changes every so many months. It's called the solstice. And it gets warm and it gets cold and it does all those good things.
Do they understand? I told my mom, I said, I think it's HARP.
Well, you know what? HARP is going to be an issue because that's what people don't know. And I actually know somebody who worked on the HARP towers, live right here, and we may interview him one day, you know, incognito.
I think it's man messing around with the weather that's causing the weather to act crazy.
Yeah, not. And
I mean, I understand there's still climate change because it always has been.
Right.
But some things are it's not consistent like it should be.
No.
Winter's
right.
supposed to be winter, and summer's supposed to be summer. Spring is supposed to be spring, and fall is supposed to be fall. And right now, I don't know what we're doing, but we got on T-shirts on one day and long johns on the next. That's a little bit extent of change.
Uh-huh.
That's a little bit drastic for me.
Yeah, it's drastic, believe you me. But, no, I think it's a foolish notion to think that we are somehow with the things that we're doing, you know, with factories, this, that, and other, that we're changing the climate when there's been times when we have multiples of volcanoes going off across the globe. And you don't have any, you know. Why is it the Earth should have burned up at the time, if you ask me?
But I mean, just the notion of it. I mean, it was a play on words. Mm-hmm. They got everybody roared up. You've got this religious group called the Green People. And
mm-hmm.
The Green People have scared the crap out of the normal people, where the normal people don't know what to believe. And hey, it's open mic today, and it's just. We're sucked into something that we have the business being sucked into, and now it's going to be like 35 below zero tomorrow when we come in here.
Yeah, I love it. I love every minute of it.
35 below zero. I don't know what that feels like. Viva, what does that feel like? How's the weather down there where you are?
I don't know. I haven't been outside.
Viva, in terms of your daughter's off from school, right?
No, they closed schools. They closed schools down here.
So I got a friend, and I guess, you know, today was supposed to be the first day back for all the kids, and it's been like 17 days, and the parents are now counting.
They're losing it.
Because everybody's been home, and now everybody's still home, and nobody's going back to work and going to school, and it's really kind of, they're having a cabin fever.
I'm enjoying it. My daughter's been on her best behavior, so.
That's because she's still trying to get her Christmas gift.
Did you see the video?
That was so not right. And that was so not right.
She's going to have an attitude about that for the rest of her life.
Who, my daughter?
Yes.
No, she's actually accepted her punishment, and she actually has the box with two lumps of coal sitting on her nightstand as a reminder of how not to act, to get her act together.
But that was so mean. That was mean, Diva.
Even I'm not that mean.
Oh, my God. That was not mean. That was...
Diva, you videotaped it and put it on Facebook.
For the world to see.
Yeah.
You know, they got something now that you can put out there and it only lasts maybe 10 minutes and then it explodes and it goes away like Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, like, tell it all and then let it be there for eternity.
Snapchat?
Yeah, I guess that's what it's called.
Oh, the Snapchat that got hacked and whatnot?
Well, I mean, all of them are going to get hacked once or twice. It's a doggy-dog world.
She's been working her way to opening up gifts, so she's been on, I mean, I was like, wow, I should have done this a long time ago. She's been perfect, so it worked.
Did you say it worked?
It will work. I don't have to have her do a chore or anything. I don't have to tell her to do it. She just does it. I was like, wow. I just done this a long time ago. It worked.
No. She's working. She ain't dumb. She works. She know you. She got gifts. She's just working to get them. Don't let her fool you.
Well, she still has to, even if when she gets to open all of them, she still has to work to receive each gift. So she gets to open them, but she doesn't get to, you know, enjoy them. So she still has to work at earning stuff back, too. She doesn't have her iPod. She doesn't have her Nook. She doesn't have her DS, whatever this little thing is. She doesn't have her cell phone. She doesn't have TV privileges. She doesn't have computer privileges. She can't even recreational read. She can only read for school. So she can't do anything.
She can't even recreational read?
No, because it's a very big distraction with her. That was part of the problem. She was in school reading instead of doing her homework, doing her work. So,
ooh, you're tough. Dang. Dang, Diva. And you call yourself not a conservative, huh?
I'm not a conservative.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How's that, I'm looking at this inequality of money that they're talking about on the news today. Why is it that they believe that everybody's supposed to make the same amount of money since you're supposed to be the liberal in the House?
I don't understand why they, I mean, how can I say this? It's just that liberals are kind of soft, especially for our left liberals. They feel like they need to take care of and cuddle everyone. They have this sense that they do have the sense of entitlement that everyone should be on the same level. I personally don't feel that way, but I do feel that everybody who works should make a living wage.
Don't say, I mean, don't, no, 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 just, no, no, let me say this. If you work, you should make a wage. You should make wages for the work that you do. And if you don't like the work, if you don't like the wages that you make, you need to make yourself better so that you can get the wages that you need.
No, I'll have to disagree. I think you.
But no matter what I do, I should be making a living wage.
Yes, I think.
So when I come baby, your daughter.
When you work, you're working. No matter what job you're working, you're pretty much working hard. You're working long hours.
So I should make a living wage babysitting your child.
What do you mean babysitting my child?
Okay, I'm your babysitter. No, I'm not in daycare. I'm a babysitter. And I come over and I babysit your child, so you should be paying me $15 an hour when I come and babysit your daughter on the weekends.
Well, it depends on how long you're watching her for.
4 hours. I mean, 4 or 5 hours.
No, that's different. You're
Why
only
not?
Paying 4 hours how many times a day.
I'm not saying matter.
Still working.
I'm putting up with your kid. It's not mine.
There's a difference between you working a few hours and somebody working 8 hours to provide a service. I mean, but if I want to pay somebody $50 because I feel like, you know what, taking care of somebody's child, parenting is very hard. And when you're watching other people's kids, it could be very, very, it's very difficult. That's a special craft. I couldn't babysit other people's kids.
That's what I'm saying. I should get paid a livable wage just to babysit your kid. I'm with that. Hold on. There's some other things I need to do. So when I work at the 7-Eleven, I should get paid $20 an hour at least.
A living wage is not necessarily $15 to $20 an hour. You don't need to, especially here in Ohio, you don't need to make $15, $20 an hour to be able to make it.
Yes,
but $7.25 an hour is not enough to raise a family on a salary wage.
But you don't need. I shouldn't have a family if I only make $7.25 an hour.
Absolutely.
See, that's the problem.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
No. You're right. I shouldn't have a family.
You shouldn't have a family just because you only make $7.25 an hour.
Correct.
That makes no sense.
I shouldn't have a family.
Because if that was the case,
I should not have a family.
It makes a whole lot of sense.
I should not have a family. And I may make a mistake and have one, but I'm just dumb if I go make two. And I'm really stupid if I make three. And somebody needs to come and beat me if I make four. And shoot me if I make five.
Hey.
Well, I'm jail me if I make six. I'm really not up to debating it, but you were just
Diva, it's
to
early in the morning.
I disagree.
What do you mean, disagree?
I'm like, because people have sex. People make
and
dumb decisions.
And people that have sex need to put on a raincoat.
Yeah, they do.
Or don't have
sex.
Listen, we know how babies are made. Yes?
Make it $7.25 an hour. Do you really think these people have great health care insurance through their jobs?
They do now.
No.
They got Obamacare if they went online and signed up.
Now, but people were having babies way before Obamacare came along.
Guess what? And they was getting aid to dependent children and WIC and
they
get in line and they have all
this
milk and Similac and all that kind of stuff and cheese and butter and coupons.
That's not always the case. That is not always the case. Because the way the system is now, it goes off of your gross income. And you make it $7.25 an hour. You make it $7.25 an hour. Your significant others make it $7.25 an hour. If you're grossing so much in that household, you're not qualified for anything. You may qualify for a little bit of food stamps. Maybe your kids qualify for medical.
It shouldn't be a significant other. Either I'm married or I'm not.
Okay, but some people don't have biblical beliefs. They don't have a faith. They don't follow our faith. So, therefore, they're
going
to have a relationship outside of the parameters
so
of marriage.
I can just go out and make babies and then go get a job doing whatever I want to do and still make a living wage.
No, it's about how about not discriminating against somebody what they're doing in their personal life, whether I agree with it or not.
I'm not discriminating. I'm just saying I shouldn't have to pay for it.
Or because married couples can have babies and make it $725, not bringing in enough to where they want a more livable wage, whereas single couples shouldn't have that.
No. What I'm saying is you're right. If you make a baby, you ought to have the money to pay for the baby you make. If you can't pay for the baby you make, you shouldn't have a baby. That's what I'm saying. And you know how babies are made.
Boardman Frame House.
And the problem is, we making babies that we shouldn't be making.
It's easier to say
and
that.
No, because
yeah, when you're living with
Diva,
someone.
Oh, baby, you know we got friends. We got friends, and they making
right.
babies, and you know they shouldn't be making babies. They're looking to
how
to make a baby.
What I'm saying is, when you're living with someone, sex is going to be a natural occurrence. It's one of the easiest recreational things, cheapest recreational things you can do. Well, at that moment, because if you end up getting pregnant, it's not so cheap. But I mean, it's
so
natural for
so
you to have
control,
sex. You're living with someone,
and birth control and wearing a raincoat is not not wise.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's very wise, but not everybody thinks 10 steps ahead.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm not saying that.
We got friends. We got friends. You know you got friends and I got friends. And you know, they went out to have a baby and didn't have no job.
Right.
They knew they was making a baby when they was making the baby and didn't have no job.
Okay, but
and the
you
man
have,
didn't have and they knew
well,
and they knew the man that they
don't
were
have
didn't have
kids,
no job.
Tracy. You have people who don't have kids who still do not earn a living wage. I know plenty of people. I know a good majority of my friends who don't have kids, but they're still finding a hard time living on $7.25 an hour.
And what do they want to do? And have they gone and gotten an education for it? Hey, that's the
life
question. That ain't no life. That's just living off the system. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Michael Savage.
I'm opposed to revolution because nobody wins. However, you have to fight a tyrannical government virtually at the same level that they're imposing their tyranny on you. We don't want Syria. We don't want 70,000 or 700,000 dead. We don't want a civil war in America. We don't want to see one-fourth of the male population wiped out in a civil war. Ever.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Most school districts in the valley are closed because of the extreme. Most school districts in the valley are closed because of the extreme cold temperatures and snow expected today and tomorrow. Red Cross chapters across the state of Ohio are on high alert, ready to open shelters if need be. The Trumbull County Emergency Management Team is also on standby, ready to assist if necessary. There's also a help hotline set up so that people can call with weather-related questions. Just dial 211 and someone will get you in touch with the appropriate agency. Meantime, the State Department of Aging is urging Ohioans to check on older adults during the next couple of days as they have a more difficult time adjusting to the extremely cold temperatures. Plus, the state fire marshal is reminding everyone these temperatures only increase the risk of home fires. If you do use kerosene heaters or space heaters, keep them at least 3 feet away from combustible materials. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Consider this your personal invitation to attend a Legacy Financial Strategies workshop entitled Tax-Free Retirement. If you are on Social Security or you have any kind of provisional income, these workshops are designed especially for you. Your first opportunity is January 21st at the Chop House Restaurant in Warren, Ohio. Your second opportunity is January 23rd at the Avalon Golf and Country Club. Your third and last opportunity is January 28th at the Chop House Restaurant in Warren, Ohio. All workshops start at 6, will last approximately 1 hour, and dinner will be served afterwards. And no, it won't be bologna sandwiches. Don't delay. Call now. Workshops fill up fast. Call Legacy Financial Strategies at 1-800-264-4963. That's 1-800-264-4963. A tax-free retirement can be yours with Legacy Financial Strategies.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Are you dreaming big this holiday season? So are your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers with the Dream Big event. Get into a brand new Fusion now for only $199 a month for 24 months. Visit driveoneohio.com for details.
Attention all healthcare professionals. Is your practice accepting new patients? Are you looking to grow your business? If so, listen to this opportunity. Our radio station, which is part of Cumulus Media, is publishing and distributing 20,000 free local medical guides this spring. It includes a physician's listing, as well as marketing opportunities for your practice. This is a great opportunity for you to attract new patients. Make sure your practice is included in the medical guide. For all the details, call me, Brad Marshall, at 330-779-8127.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts, the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back. And Edison, Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I am sitting here with Jeff.
Flabbergasted.
I didn't say afternoon, did I? We're here in the mornings now from 9 until noon, and it's noon for me and it's noon for you. I've never been on from 9 to noon. I've been on from like noon until 3. I've been on from like 7 till 10, but never from 9 to noon.
Was that 7 to 10?
7 to 10.
So that was the 8 to 10 before?
Yeah, it was 8 to 10, and I was on from 7 to 10. But I've never been on from 9 to noon, so this is new for me. This is all new.
I gotcha.
So I'm learning new things. So what do you talk about from 9 to noon?
Same thing.
I got Diva on the line, and
yeah,
want you to call in. The number 347-945-5229. It is open mic. I got to talk about presidents a little bit. I've been sick.
Yeah, can we finish the one little thing though?
What do you want me to finish?
why is it that a child that doesn't know how to work?
What child?
That my child went to a fast food restaurant, and for her first job, she worked a little 3, 2, 4 hours a day, depending. You know, that she's supposed to be making $12 an hour, you know, on that job. And why does somebody think that that working that is worth that amount of money?
There are a couple things, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say it this way. I'm going to be very, very fair about this.
Yeah.
There are a couple things. One, our platform or our pay scale of how we pay people is not for today. But then neither is our educational system.
Okay.
Okay. No child going to work at 16 to 19 should be 16 to 19. I'm going to say 16 to 19.
Mm-hmm.
Even 16 to 20 should be making $15 an hour if it's their first, second, or third job. But we have this equality, so we believe that everybody has to come in at the same rate. So you've got this.
Mm-hmm.
I got a fan blow. I don't know what it is. Sorry about that, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that everyone that starts has this minimum wage that has to start from there.
Yeah.
Secondly, we need to really look at, there are people out there who their aptitude, they really are, I mean, they've been working at fast food restaurants for a lot of years. I mean, 10, 15 years, still flipping burgers.
Mm.
You can call it supervisor. They can be crew chief or whatever you want to call it. But the crew chief is, I mean,
yeah.
But whatever you want to call it, it's still not worthy of $7.25, but they should be making 10. But because of the inequity of our society, we don't classify the jobs based upon the person that's doing it. And we want everything to be equal, and everything can't be equal. The same way that I should not be walking into a classroom and at 7 years old being taught the same thing as your child who has a computer, who knows her numbers, colors, names, and spelling, and three-letter words, and my child knows how to cuss. I'm just saying, so
yeah.
that's our problem right there. We want to make all things equal, and all things are not equal because you just
can't give things away. It's not necessarily about making all things equal. It's the fact that at 7.25, whether you have a family or not, don't have a family, you can barely afford the prices of things nowadays. Everything is going up.
You're right, Diva, and the reason why they're going up is because every time you move, the number, move the minimum wage, move that number up, everything goes up with it. So
okay,
you.
When was the last time minimum wage had got increased? It was $6.75.
Remember, we put it in the Constitution based upon inflation.
Yes, they did, foolishly, in Ohio.
So we did that ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to understand, every time that needle moves, everything moves with it. With it, and because everything moves with it, it causes the price of everything to go up. That's why the people who are buying a Cadillac cannot afford a Cadillac. At one time, leasing was only for companies, and now leasing is for everybody, and you never own the car in which you drive.
What gets me is...
But I would like to ask Jeff something. Your daughter goes to college, right, Jeff? Your daughter is in college? She lives in a dorm? Okay,
yeah.
Do you still supplement her when she finds herself broke? Do you supplement her income?
You know what? My daughter, because I taught her how to work, no. She don't have to.
Okay.
She makes her own
money. Okay, so because she's working, she doesn't have to supplement her income. You don't have to supplement her income. But because she's living in the dorms, her expenditures are not as great. So,
that's
but when
not
I
the
was
point.
Her
she
age,
was at home.
I was,
Tito.
No, there is a point. When I was her age... And I was in college. I didn't live in the dorms. I lived on my own. Well, I didn't live on my own, but I was responsible for rent and utilities and my food.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it was only maybe $5.75 that I was making an hour. I didn't have any kids, but it was still difficult for me to make to have a living off of that amount.
You chose to not have a roommate. You chose.
No, I was sharing in responsibilities of I was with my mom, but I had to pay rent and I had to pay utilities. I wasn't living with my mom for free.
Okay, but you chose that. You chose that path.
It was cheaper for me to live with my mom and pay a certain amount of bills instead of living on my own and having a greater amount of bills because I was going to college and I was working while I was going to college because I needed to work.
But
because
I know
there was
people
nobody
that are doing,
to take care of.
So were you going to school full time?
Yes, I was.
And so you couldn't get any more
hours
at work?
I was going to school full time and I was trying to work and I was working full time.
Stevens, did you have a child then?
No.
No, I didn't.
Okay, let me ask you a question then. Once again, you needed a job that was more substantial than the one you were working with then. Because the point is this, all jobs are not created equal.
No, I needed a job at that point that was going to be beneficial towards my schedule for school.
Diva.
So,
Diva, that's a wish, and we all have one. Okay,
right,
but the thing
because
is,
I didn't have any kids. But the point is, Jeff, is that you made a point that your daughter, who was working at fast food, first job, she's in school, she should be making $12 an hour. No, some jobs you aren't going to make $12 an hour. No one's saying, well, at least in Ohio, some people aren't really saying, I should be making $12 an hour for working at McDonald's.
Yes, they are.
Okay. But 725, we could meet in the middle somewhere on this number. 725 nowadays.
Diva, listen to me, sweetie. If you move the number to $10 an hour, the only thing you're going to do is move the needle of the burger at the end.
Okay,
of the
so
line.
What do you do?
No,
if you're going to keep the minimum wage, then what do you do?
Sweetie, you're not listening. Listen to what I'm saying, sweetheart. This is what I'm saying. What we fail to realize is every time the number moves, we move the cost of what you're producing, which means Diva, listen to what I'm saying. Listen. So even if I continue to give you more money, the only thing that I'm going to do is increase what you spend because not only is the cheese going to go up, but so is everything else that is around me going to go up. And you don't realize that your gasoline goes up.
That's what I'm asking.
Diva, what I'm saying is the alternative is for us to get back to the social issues of America, which is education, where we don't want people to think on their own and have the ingenuity to know how to go out and make it for themselves.
What we learned in 2008, 2009 is that people lose their jobs for a number of reasons and not of their own fault. So that person,
when I lose my job, do I have to lose my money?
A person will end up finding a job that wasn't with their cost of living, that no longer meets their cost of living.
Are you missing the point? Diva.
No, I'm asking you, what do you do?
You
guys don't want to raise minimum wage.
You don't
want to
hear. You don't like the answer. You don't like the answer.
I have yet to hear you say, okay, so what do we do with people in a situation? If you don't want to wait, if you don't want to, if you're not going to raise minimum wage.
You're not listening. You're not listening. My grandfather, when he lost his job, he would go out and do odd jobs to make up the income to take care of his family. Uh-huh. So my grandfather would fix cars. He would work on furnaces. He would build houses. They would lay masonry. They would do whatever was necessary for them to take care of their family because there was no welfare for them to lean on.
And how well did his kids eat?
They ate every day. They may not have had a steak
how
every day.
How well did they eat? Because
they're 90 years old. No, you're missing the point. They're 90 years old. Right now, there's only one dead. He had six. There's only one dead. There are five living, and the youngest one is 70 years old. And the oldest one is 91. So I guess they ate well enough to live.
Not necessarily.
Hold on. You asked me the question. None of them have been incarcerated. None of them.
Okay, what does that mean? Anything?
It means a lot. Because there was somebody there that was rearing them and teaching them the ways that they should, so they could become productive adults. They all have children and children's children and grandchildren, most of them, because the rest of us, we ain't having that. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm telling you, they got their hustle on. So they never had only one source of income. So they never depend upon their job for their living. Their job was a way to make a wage. And we have taken that out of society. And that's the problem. We have taken that common sense, that initiative, that go out and get it for yourself away from people. So right now, if you don't pay me what I want to make, I'm going to lay and let the government take care of me. And right now, that is killing us.
You guys have such a false sense of what, how welfare programs actually work.
Did you really think
that there are so many people sitting around collecting welfare checks that barely meets the cost of living just because they don't want to go out and work?
They want to go out and work what they see on TV. They don't want to go out and work.
Okay, but you guys put this false narrative like that is the majority of people on welfare.
No, we don't. It is.
Yes, you do, because that's what you talk about. That is Diva, all you talk about.
But listen. When I talk about welfare, and I'm talking about people who are, when I look at 99 weeks of unemployment, and nobody can understand and scam the system like I understand it and know how to do that. 99 weeks is too long for you to be on unemployment.
I agree. 99 weeks is too long. I mean, I had this debate with a cousin who was making $80,000 a year. She got that job went away, and she was constantly trying to look for a job that made that amount. And I said, you know what? You have to revamp yourself. Either you're going to have to go back to school and get your bachelor's, or you're going to have to train for another field, because this field is not, it's
gone. But this is not the problem. The problem is, and if you really want to know what's wrong with unemployment, is that we don't stop this process and have a means of recourse so people can regroup when they lose their job. If you're making $80,000, let me finish, Diva. When you're making $80,000 a year and you lose your job, and your job may be specialized, you may have had a two-year severance pay, but your two-year severance pay, once you go get another job, may not be paying you the same $80,000 that you were once making. And that's where your credit issues come in, because you can't make that car note or that house note or those school notes that you once had or those credit card payments at the level that you were making. And all of it becomes cumulative, and it actually slaps you in the face. And we have not found a way to suspend the system until you actually can get back on your feet again. That's what's wrong with the problem. The problem is not, you know, us to pay you $260 a week when you're making $80,000 a year. Because all that is a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
I completely agree. I'm not disagreeing with
you. And then they may not pay you unemployment because you have a severance.
It still has nothing to do with the whole with the narrative of the minimum wage per se. The thing is this: all jobs are not worth the money of a living wage. That is a crazy notion, because you are in on the employment place for many reasons. My daughter did not, she needed to make some extra money for herself to buy some school clothes and to have gas to put in the car when she stole my car and all this other stuff. So the thing is she worked a minimum wage job, and she did it till she went away to school. Now, let me finish real quick. Here's the thing. She's not out there to make a living on that minimum wage job. She's out there to make some money and to learn how to work in a workplace.
And parents need to quit trying to pimp their kids thinking
Jeff, do you charge your daughter rent, utilities, and the cost of her own food?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
no.
That's a completely different scenario. There are plenty of 19, 20-year, 21-year-olds who don't have the luxury of mommy and daddy
My daddy charged me rent. Okay?
Your daddy charged you back in the day is completely different now.
No, it isn't different now. It's the same. I was working minimum wage jobs for a little bit. So you have to understand
parents need to quit pimping their kids.
Well, I mean, the thing
and
is...
And when I say that they should be...
But 19 years old, Tracy,
yeah.
You don't need to be living at home. Diva,
living at home, you should pay something to your family. But you shouldn't be splitting the bills down half because I got a job.
No, and that's the crazy.
And I done seen some folks do that. 407, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, this is Alex.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good.
And where's my Christmas gift?
You didn't get it? I'm going to have to call. I'm going to have to call you.
Alex,
this is ridiculous.
You know, I had almost had to cut somebody's arm off over a watch.
Oh.
Alex, where my Christmas gift?
I'm going to have to call UPS because I should have got there by now. You know?
Yeah.
I'll give them a call.
About, folks. Mm-hmm. You're just wrong. And he's laughing. He laughed while he's telling the lie. Okay, go ahead.
So how you like the mornings starting at 9? You know?
I love morning. Morning is good.
That's
true. Morning is good. Morning is great for me. I'm enjoying this afternoons in the morning with Tracy.
Okay.
As soon as I get the day part said, I'll be straight. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm listening to you guys, and I got to tell you, I feel for Diva. Because what you guys are talking about, I'm looking at this chart, and I've looked at it repeatedly. You know, I always come back to it every year or so. It shows the minimum wage, a history of minimum wage that adjusted for inflation, and when you look at that, no one really looked at minimum wage jobs as for a career or anything like that. But reality is that just say 40 years ago, you could get a minimum wage job and you could take care of your family a lot better than you can today because of inflation. I mean, if you just look at like a loaf of bread compared to 40 years ago, it costs 10 times as much as it used to. You know, people used to talk about getting a loaf of bread for a nickel or, you know, maybe 20 cents, but now it costs you $3 to get a loaf of bread. And that should really, I don't think you can just ignore that so easily, or at least I can't. You know, when
let
it
me,
comes
Alex,
to
let
to
me
this
say
discussion.
That. Let me say this. Because of regulations and because of the market measures, I mean, you have to understand, when we look at labor unions, see, at one time I could fix a loaf of bread and bring it to your house. It didn't have to have a whole lot of preservatives in it, nor did I have a union rep with a union card in your back pocket as you delivered the bread.
That's right. It's going to get everybody a raise.
You understand?
Every year.
Right now, do you know how much union dollars are tied into that same loaf of bread that you're talking about? When they had it for a nickel, or when they had that milk delivered to the house, you didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And do you look at the pride that people had? The people that had pride in delivering the loaf of bread, and then if you couldn't afford the loaf of bread, they would even let you have credit on the loaf of bread if you didn't have it.
Well, I mean, unions have definitely gone kind of wayward in the last 30 or 40 years, no doubt about that. But most people don't have union jobs. I mean, most union jobs, I mean, only accounts for, I think it's like less than 30% of all jobs.
It still drives the industry when it comes to pay. Don't think that it doesn't. You can't go out. You can't have people working at General Motors making $20 an hour, and people working over at the Honda plant making $10 an hour and think it's going to work.
I tell you, I was pretty upset about that because I know when I first got out of college, it was right after the dot-com bust in 2000, and my first job as an engineer, I made $15.46 an hour, and this is with a bachelor's degree. And some people will be like, oh, I can't. Some people even told me that, I can't believe you took that job because you wasn't getting paid enough. But you know what? It was honest work. I was getting good experience, and I did it for a couple years. And you know, after that, I, you know, more than doubled my salary when I left, you know. But a lot of people don't value hard work. But at the same time, while I'm making $15 an hour, I'm looking at people with no education over at GM making more than me, and they're sweeping the floors.
Right.
are you following me now? Only 30% of America has a union job, but look at how the unions and how it actually reflects into every other industry and every other profession there is. I mean, look at what happened over at Delphi when they went upside down. And look at how the government came in and bailed out the union people, but they didn't take care of the shareholders and the people who were salaried. So you've got all these people who lost their pension.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to get, and because they were shareholders, they were supposed to get their money out that way. And the government came in and said, no, you won't get it that way.
I'd like to bring everybody's attention to a study by Ball State University. Ball State has brought the statistics that every time they raise the minimum wage, we lose between 200 and 300,000 low-wage jobs. No, they don't start paying people anymore. Those jobs go away. And the thing is the left knows and they don't care. What they're doing is they're keeping themselves in power by championing these very foolish ideas that they know don't work. They know they don't work. Every statistic in the world tells you. You're not lifting anybody out of poverty by raising the minimum wage. Because when you raise minimum wage, take our local McDonald's man.
Yeah.
He's not going to miss any money.
We don't even teach people the economy of franchising, that when I am a franchise owner, McDonald's is not paying you.
Right. And you got to have
fast track is.
Right. You got to have 100. $1 million for every little McDonald's store you put up there. What do you think is going to happen to prices when you force this person to pay somebody $10 an hour?
They'll either go up on their price or they go out of
business. I have a question for Alex.
Yeah.
What's up?
Because I've asked for a solution to, okay, so if raise the minimum wage will just only increase inflation, mm-hmm. how do you make it so that the cost of living matches mm-hmm. what people are being paid?
It's actually, you can't do it without a sound monetary policy. The reason why it keeps going up, why the cost of living keeps going up, is it has to do with the reasons that Tracy said, and also due to inflation. Every time the government keeps, when the government continues to spend, this is why the deficits are important. We don't see it, immediately, but every time the government has a deficit of, say, $1 trillion, like just like last year, what ends up happening is that turns into inflation for it comes in the next year or two or maybe three. And so you have to get the spending in order with the government, and you have to bring in more free market, more competition, so that those prices fall. Like I always say that, when it comes to the biggest things, like when it comes to food, healthcare, all those things, the reason why the prices of those are so high is because of government intervention. If you got government out of the way, and the things that people spend the most money on, which is energy, food, and healthcare, then those prices will definitely fall. When they weren't involved as much, the prices were, dirt cheap. People never worried about getting health care or going broke or filing bankruptcy because of medicine. But as soon as the government got involved, that's what happened. Same thing with food, with housing and all that stuff. So it's it's so corrupt now that you'd have to intelligently roll back regulation to where it doesn't, where you'd open up competition so that other people can compete. Then the prices of everything comes down
Let me throw this into the mix. Diva, education or the lack of education is really to our demise. because of the undereducating of Americans. That is why you see things the way they are. That's why everybody is fighting over becoming a, you know, getting more for a minimum wage McDonald's, flipping a burger, fast food restaurant, and not dealing with how you're walking across the stage and you still can't read. You should be able to walk across your stage and have a diploma in your hand and almost walk into any other position of job that is not technical and be able to acquire a skill so that you can make it happen. And that is not what's happening. We don't even have the basics to learn how to become something, even on our own, so that we can start our own and we can have our own. And that's where the travesty is. So they don't want you to become educated. They want you to become dependent upon a system. And the system is killing us.
I kind of feel like what you're saying is not based in reality. There are plenty of people who walk across the stage, get their diploma, and still find it, even if you are college graduate, still find it difficult just walking to a job.
Have you heard Sticks when he said his daughter walked across the stage? She was a valedictorian of her school, which means she was the highest-ranked student in her class. Yet when she got to the university of her choice, she still had to take remedial classes when she got there. So you have to realize, if you have to take remedial classes, let me finish, Diva. If you have to take remedial classes and you are the valedictorian, what does that say for me and your 300 people in your class and I'm 300?
Okay, but you just made a statement that our education is lacking, that you should be able, when you graduate from high school, you should be able to walk across the stage and still just walk into a job that you want. Basically, that's not
and
reality.
Diva, you can't do it because we have not learned the – Diva, you're not listening to me. We have not learned the aptitude of even – right now, you've got the plumbers and pipe fitters. You've got all these craft trade jobs that are looking for people. They're looking for welders. They're looking for people to come and work for them, and all they have to do is be drug-free, have a GED, a driver's license, and pee in a cup, and pass a simple math test.
Could you be a welder?
Could I be a welder? Yes. Did I find that they got dirty? Yes. I don't think I can do that anymore.
I could do that now.
Are you following me, Diva? I can become a welder
tomorrow.
I'm
following you, but not everybody is cut out for just
that. You're missing my point. Diva, no. At 50 years old, if push came to shove, and I had my babies to feed, and I had to eat. You do what you have to do to get to where you have to go. That's the problem that we have. We feel as though we don't have to do what we have to do to get where we have to go because we're entitled to get something.
It's a lot more difficult. 50 years old.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Then
I go start my own.
If you got a skill, they hire you.
They may not hire 50-year-old people. You know what? But if I've got the aptitude, I can go start my own and make you go hire me and other people that are around me.
Right.
The problem that we have is we don't even have the initiative to go and do that anymore.
Not everybody's cut out to be a business owner either.
Diva, no. Listen, it's not about being a business owner. It's about having a hustle that you're not dependent on someone else to take care of your needs. You do what you have to do to get to where you have to go. And the problem is we're expecting for someone to come and take care of us.
Hey,
are you looking to go at 50? At 50, you're just basically wanting to be able to take care of your family if you still have one or if you have one and take care of your cost of living.
No, Diva, I gotta work on retirement.
Exactly.
Oh, you're not going to just go out there and just take anything. You're going to be looking for
it depends on what my needs are, Diva. If I can't put gas in my car it's going to be 35 below here. If I can't pay that gas bill, I got to go do something. And if I don't have kids, you know they're not giving me no free nothing.
Uh-uh. And it comes at a great sacrifice.
Diva, I'm just saying, at 50 years old, I'm going to have to make a choice. Because I've got to have heat on tomorrow. I'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM. You're listening to the Valley's News Talk. WSOM, Salem,
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. Usually it hangs out over Canada, but the polar vortex moves south, and that's why this air mass has caused extremely cold conditions today in the Midwest. In Arkansas and Tennessee, people woke up to temperatures in the low single digits. That's unusual. The big chill is blamed for thousands of flight delays and cancellations. This woman from Chicago is stuck in Phoenix, wants to get back despite the cold that awaits her.
Yeah, it's high of negative 11, yeah. But I got to get home, so it is what it is.
How does it feel like in below-zero weather? ABC's Brian Burrow in Chicago explains.
As soon as you step outside, you can feel it in your nose. Then any exposed skin starts to burn. Extremities do start to tingle a little bit, the toes, the fingers. And if you've been out here for long enough, and you've ever had a brain freeze before from eating ice cream maybe a little too fast, eventually that's what your entire body starts to feel like.
Ryan Burrow. People who have been out of a job for at least 6 months had their benefits cut off at the end of December. Congress will consider this week whether to restore them. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
The Senate gets straight to work this afternoon on unfinished business because Congress allowed benefits to expire for 1.3 million long-term unemployed. President Obama is back in the Oval Office from vacation, and he has invited some of those unemployed here tomorrow to add pressure to his argument. But some in Congress demand the benefits must be paid for with cuts to other programs. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
A Pennsylvania woman who called herself Jihad Jane is to be sentenced today. 50-year-old Colleen LaRose faces a long prison term. She helped support suspected terrorists overseas. Federal Appeals Court in New Orleans to hear arguments today on a Texas law. It's led to the closing of many abortion clinics. This is ABC News.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, it's a fact that they have the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, and even your freedom. If you've received a letter from the IRS, don't ignore it. Your problem will only continue to get worse. Here's the good news. The IRS has recently released new programs geared at helping struggling taxpayers where you may now qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe, including penalties and interest. Or you may qualify for other special programs. If you're being audited, have years of unfiled tax returns, have a federal tax lien, or worse yet, are being issued a wage garnishment or bank levy, listen carefully. Authority Tax Services expert staff of ex-IRS agents, attorneys, and CPAs can immediately protect you from IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. Call 800-239-3837. That's 800-239-3837. 800-239-3837.
America's biggest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, expected to pay about $2 billion. It's a settlement with federal authorities. The penalties would be for the bank's failure to warn investigators about Bernard Madoff's massive Ponzi scheme. The bills are becoming due for those gifts we bought. Credit card statements for December start arriving this week. If you have problems paying your bills, consider putting together a household budget.
Up to 80% of families don't have a budget at all, and that's one of the easiest things that you can do.
That's mommy blogger and mother of seven, Tiffany Ivanovsky. She says having a budget and keeping track of it is step one.
Getting out of debt can be so overwhelming, but the easiest thing you can do is start very small.
Focused first on one credit card.
Pick your lowest balance credit card with the highest interest rate and just get that paid off as fast as you can.
Ivanovsky says one way to save on spending is to use cash. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at Lowe's today.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. The holidays are here, so dream big with your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers. Get the fuel-efficient Escape with EcoBoost for only $199 a month. Visit DriveOneOhio.com for details.
If you're a homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your commitment. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for homeowners who are current on their mortgage payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. More than 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Well, why don't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He called everyone. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Visit StrokesNoJoke.org, brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
America's best talk. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I want to love you and treat you right. I wanna love you every day and every night. We'll be together with the roof right over our head. We'll share the shelter of my single bed. We'll share the same room, yeah. Put up
we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here in the morning. It's 10:08. I guess it's 8 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. Not yet. Not 10. It's not after 1 o'clock.
It's morning time.
It's morning time. You know, I've got to get used to this thing. I'm not. You know, some things just happen by. You know, continual. You just do it. You know, you just sit up. You know, it's 8 minutes after, and you know, it's not noon. It's breakfast time. Jeff, you didn't bring breakfast or nothing. You brought your own coffee.
Oh, that was your
own
fault. That was your fault.
How was my fault?
Because you got me out the house early.
Okay. And you didn't think I might be hungry?
I figured that since somebody was so big for their britches that they had already taken care of some things.
No, I didn't think
I just thought about that.
No,
you know?
I didn't do that.
And your last paycheck didn't clear the bank yet.
What paycheck?
The last one you sent.
So
I didn't have anything to buy anything with except one measly cup of tea. That's all I have here.
No, but Jeff, you could have gone to another place and gotten two measly cups for the one measly cup you got from Starbucks.
No.
When you spend that much on a cup of tea?
We have quality here all the time. We don't.
What makes them quality?
Just what they are. I mean, they're good. I love Starbucks.
Better than Dunkin' Donuts? Absolutely not.
You know what? But I am thoroughly surprised at McDonald's coffee. I coming back from Indiana a couple weeks ago, I got that.
Did you say McDonald's coffee?
absolutely great.
That's why you should be paying $15 an hour, because they served you a good cup of coffee.
Well, that's right. Doggone you, McDonald's.
The number is 347-945-5229. Jeff needs a $15 cup of coffee, so you need to make sure that you call in and let him know. Hey, it's good to be here. It's good to be back. Healthy, happy 2014. Got a great show lined up for you for this year. Hopefully you'll enjoy it, and we want to hear from you. You know, Mondays, we're going to still continue to do the same format for the most part. Mondays and Fridays will still be open mic, and Wednesdays will be sixth day. You never know what's going to happen with him. Thursday, Mark Manji, and Monday and Tuesday, Jeff and I. So you know who's here. You know what's on tap. Sticks and Alex in the chat room. We want to hear from you also. New callers are always welcome, and we always want to hear from you, hear what you have to say. I'll try to keep Jeff at bay, because, you know, sometimes he is like the big bad wolf, and he scares people off. And I know he does.
Better luck next time.
Ooh. But we were talking about education, and we were talking about minimum wage. And right now they're trying to shift the conversation this year, because it isn't a midterm election year, 2014. You've got the governor's races across this country. You also have midterms for Congress and for the Senate, and usually your statewide races. And right now they're trying to shift the conversation and the debate from Obamacare, which has been a catastrophe, over to
income inequality.
Yes, and I'm trying to let y'all know something. Don't let them fool you. Because all jobs are not created equal.
No, they're not. And they're not all worth a livable wage. That's just insane. They're not there to make a livable wage on. You have to make yourself worthy of a livable wage.
But hold on, Jeff. Why? The Congress doesn't make themselves worthy of a livable
no,
wage.
No, but they vote themselves a livable wage, over livable wage.
So what's wrong with this picture?
Well, there's a lot wrong. There's a lot wrong that could be changed throughout this United States. And
nah, can't change that.
They got on me. They got on me. You were gone one day. They said that I was a socialist.
Huh?
They said that I was a socialist.
Because you want to do what?
Well, I wanted to not spend $615 million on a website that doesn't work. I wanted to take that, you know, half that money, $315 million, okay, and split it out, not even a whole. If you gave every house, every person in the United States, $50,000 to start out, that's not socialist, you know, and I'll tell you why it's not socialist.
Okay.
Socialism is when you just take indiscriminately the rich and everybody else's money and you dole it out for, you know, for really no purposes. You might do a thing a certain way. But see, people are giving taxes to this government. Okay, so now if they're going to do that and you want to make a fail-safe, then let them handle some of their own tax money back, just like you bring money back to your district through your representative. Give them a $50,000 lump sum in a health savings account that can be only spent on health care per family, per person, excuse me. You spent much less than $615 million. Because now by the time it's done, it's going to be $1 billion that you spent on this doggone.
Jeff.
Yeah.
It might be a good program, but it does have a socialistic nature.
Well, here's the thing. It's one thing for it to be a socialistic
thing.
Everybody
doesn't pay taxes.
Well, everybody doesn't pay taxes, but they contribute to
something. No, they don't.
They do. If you buy gasoline, you contribute to taxes. If you do all types of things. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to make a system that is not onerous on the people. And when you force them to buy something, and then you waste time with these no-good companies that they hired Michelle Obama's best friend from college to a firm that messed up the one in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
She did. She
Jeff,
messed up.
Jeff,
the...
Jeff,
okay.
Jeff.
Why are you dogging me now?
Listen, I got to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman Beatrice. Beatrice is, so for those of you who do not live here in the Mahoning Valley, Dave Beatrice is chairman of the Democrat Party here.
Uh-huh.
He's over in Germany right now.
Okay.
And he and I'm, the reason why I'm putting it out here on the radio because he put it out there on Facebook. If you can put it on Facebook, you can put it on radio.
I gotta go see it.
So he puts out, he takes a picture, and they make you, you know, pay to pee.
Yeah.
In Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fussing about having to pay to pee.
Oh, good.
Isn't that a? Isn't that
he
a?
He has to do. Wait a minute. He has to do what?
You just can't go use public restrooms in most countries. You know how we have,
what?
You know. A,
you have to pay about 25 cents, 50 cents.
Yeah, you got to pay to use a toilet.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
it ain't
wow.
Free.
Oh, wow.
No, but that's where you want to go.
And that's why I brought it up. That's exactly why
that's
I brought it up.
That's where you want to go.
And he was screaming about paying to pee. So I had to bring it out there because do you understand that if you pay to you realize that we have it, you know, right now if you want to go potty, you just go. Hey, South Carolina. Okay,
good morning. This is different. This is different.
What's different? But I'm here?
Yeah, it's like the old days.
Yeah, it
like
is. It's
kind of
cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, D.B., you sound different in the morning. You have a little bit more bass in your voice in the morning time.
Hey, I called a number the other day and she answered the phone. Her voice was so low I hung the phone up. I said, I know I got the wrong number.
But
almost
you're saying
bass,
you do have to, you do have to pay a little bit more, a little bit to go overseas. And
yeah, you
trust
to go.
Me,
you
the,
just don't,
the,
you
the
don't
facilities. Well, the facilities are not what you would expect either, especially over in the Orient. You
wait a minute, even when you pay.
Pole. Yep. You got a hole.
Even when you pay,
pole.
You
yep,
squat.
That's it. You squat. And you better hope your aim is all right.
We you know, women don't aim like that, y'all. You know, we don't have that luxury of aiming like that.
Well, what? Tell you what.
I'm just putting it out there because it was just it tickled me that he was taking a picture of the facilities that you got to pay to go to. Yet in my mind, when Jeff was talking about his idea, and we were talking about somewhat socialist, and I don't have a problem with what Jeff is talking about because I am talking to some of my friends and as educated as they are, because they're much smarter than me, much smarter than me. They have never heard of a medical savings account. That goes back to information.
Never heard of a
health care
savings account?
No.
That doesn't make.
They ain't trying to tell people about that. They're not trying to educate people on how to do that.
They don't want you. They don't want you to know to do anything with a health savings account.
Even if you do it on your own and the tax benefits of it, they don't educate you on that. They want you to use your savings account, use your taxes as a savings plan for next year.
So
keep on doing what you do.
So they can spend your money in
and tend to your business.
Right, all the time. And the thing is the government has become the government of, for, and by the government, not of, for, and by the people. And that's what people don't know, that they just signed their lives away. And that's the problem. They signed their lives away with this health care program. And if it's fully implemented, it will never be overturned. And if it's never overturned, this country is done as being a free country, because then they'll take your property rights. They'll take
all your mineral rights.
All your mineral rights will belong to the government in the name of energy and in the name of helping health care. And you will be just like any other nation, which is not who we were meant to be. So, you know, it really bothers me.
That's naughty, Jeff.
No, I mean, I'm saying.
That's naughty. I'm that naughty.
You know,
life's too short. I got a new slogan in 2014.
Yeah, what's that?
Life's too short. Don't let it bother you. Don't.
But, no, but it does bother me, Trey. And this is why it bothers me.
Why?
Because I have too many friends and relatives
yeah.
dying on the vine because of not being able to make a living. You got a president that they've proven. You know what he was teaching in college? This is so hilarious to me. He taught in his class Well, you know, in America, we need to get rid of the middle class.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
What?
Listen, let me tell you something.
Wait.
Hold on. I want you to understand something. And I know South Carolina and Alex will agree with me. You know, you could have a recording of him saying that.
I know they ain't going to believe it.
So why would you tell people some ludicrous fact like that? Because you know he didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't.
What's the problem? You don't understand. That's my dude.
And that's what they think. They think that this dude that knows nothing about being American black said this in his class. They're not going to believe it.
Yes, they didn't believe him. They said he wasn't a Christian nation. They didn't believe that he was pro gay. They didn't believe that he was pro marijuana.
They did not.
They didn't believe that he's not for them. They're not going to believe that.
Hey guys, can't you give the guy the benefit of the doubt? I mean, I'm sure back in college you probably went to some socialist rallies or just to see what it was all about, or you know, they probably talked with some fringe groups on college campus. I mean, everybody, you know, you're a different person. Everybody's a different person than they was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and I'm sure Barack Obama's a different guy. So, and I'm not saying he doesn't still hold those views or whatever. I'm not arguing one way or another, but I have a problem trying to indict somebody with what they thought in college when they're still trying to figure themselves out.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You know. Okay. Because you understand, you know, people go crazy in college, and I'm with you on that.
Everyone faces challenges.
The problem is I'm finding out that crazy doesn't always go away. Sometimes crazy is implemented.
Yeah, like Obama.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. There you go. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I understand. I mean, when you're in college and when you're younger, you know, I thought that marijuana was the way to go. So I think everybody should get high, kick it, don't care, life is good, smoke it, God made it, it's a wonderful way to go. Well, now that I'm older, I no longer think that way. So I put away some foolish things and I picked up some smart things. I can't say that for everybody.
You know, one thing people don't realize is that when government grows, it never needs enough. The beast always gets more hungry. And it's just like how most states, like they're each different state's a Department of Transportation, for instance. In most of these states, you're starting to see toll roads go up like crazy. And
you've got to pay for them.
Well, the Department of Transportation, they're already well funded through gasoline taxes.
But
they don't have enough money. Then you can put up toll roads and then put up a toll booth every mile.
Let me explain that to you really quick because it was on my mind this morning. So I'm glad you brought it up. You are right about how they're funded. They're funded through the gasoline tax. Well. You remember the federal mandate that had said cars had to be X amount of fuel efficiency by a certain date? As more and more cars become fuel efficient, where do you think the money goes that you used to get the tax off?
But what I contribute that to, though, is see, here's the thing. Was the Department of Transportation really it's really poorly managed if they were expecting to operate on every dime they were getting from gasoline.
But how are they going to make their money?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to make your money than putting up toll booths. And because I think it's just an excuse to track people. I mean, you can you know, they can regulate any service on vehicles, you know, extra tax on, you know, just maintenance, or even if it's extra 20 cents on oil changes or tires or whatever they need to do.
We don't need to do that.
Have the plan.
We already got that.
You forgot what they're doing. They're going to now take your mileage, and every so many miles, you're going to pay for mileage on which you've consumed electricity.
Well, yeah, they're trying to do that now.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. so they're trying to get that system in place. And this is, once again,
that's another tax.
Well, this absolutely, it's another tax. This is why you're pressing this country further and further toward revolution. You will have a revolution.
I mean, seriously.
If he finishes this term without, you know, going to court or getting impeached or anything like that.
He can get impeached.
Like I said, if he does, because now Mark, who knows it all now, was saying the other day he didn't think he was going to make it past this year, you know, as far as with all the things that he's done illegally. So, you know, he says IRS is enough to stop everything.
That's why you ain't heard nothing about it.
Well, you haven't heard about it, but I think that they're waiting.
Waiting on
IRS, I think they're waiting right now to see what to do with the, you know, with this midterms. Because if the Republicans don't come out well in the midterms, the country's done. I mean, there's no way around it because he's shut down everything. He's getting his energy costs skyrocketing by EPA. Electricity is up. I have an all-electric house. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, all electric. Yeah. I have no gas. But it doesn't matter because the gas is going to be higher than electricity. So, you know, here it is. We've done all this drilling. We've done all this other stuff. And Obama from the White House, executive orders it all away. All the profit from it. The company's making the money. The people are making the money up there drilling. North Dakota is doing really well, you know, on the economic scene. But it's not benefiting the rest of the country through the market because of his EPA regulations and over-regulation that he's put on there. That's the problem.
I mean,
he got you coming and going is what I'm saying.
Good. Well, I'll wait until I take a break. Alex, you agree with that? I know Diva don't agree because that's our boy.
But Diva don't know. I mean,
Diva don't know.
No,
I agree with that.
You agree with that, South Carolina?
Yeah, definitely.
Diva's like most of the people. You know, I get a lot of these people on my Facebook too. They don't know how things work, and because they don't, whenever somebody tells them something from the left, oh yeah, look, Rachel Maddow did something the other day, and
who
did
it to her?
Nobody. But she dogged the Koch brothers. I'm not apologizing for a story I wrote. And they, she reamed the Koch brothers a new one. How is little Rachel Maddow? Rachel, I'm a man now, baby. Maddow is going to do anything to the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers are billionaires. They will squash her if they feel like it.
I just have one question for you, Jeff. I got to take my break.
Mm-hmm.
Did Melissa Harris Perry cry because she had to apologize, or did she cry because she was sorry?
She cried because she had to apologize because she's an idiot. But, you know, the thing is, listen to the stuff she says.
Which one?
Any of it. If you listen to her, she is completely bonkers.
Who?
Melissa Harris Perry or Perry Harris. She whatever disease Nancy Pelosi has, she has it too. Okay, the same mental illness. Whatever it is, they both have the same one. Look at the bugged-out eyes. Look at the
South Carolina
irrational behavior here.
South Carolina.
And, you know, irrational statements. And still in power. I don't know how people leave these people in power.
What power?
The 100 Looney Tunes.
Yeah, that totally.
What do you mean she's Looney Tunes?
She is.
No, she's crazy.
No.
Listen, MSNBC is crazy because anytime you got Melissa Harris Perris and Al Sharpton on the same network, you know they all.
Al Sharpton, who is making hit pieces on people, not apologizing.
What's
for
hit
it.
Pieces?
He's he'll take a statement. It's just like he was talking about not too long ago. They were talking about Mandela, and so he made a statement that Mandela. You know, look, Mandela was a communist. However, what he did for his people was absolutely fantastic, and you cannot blame him for making the decision that he made at the time. He was very practical about it, very everything. Charlatan comes up, and he puts a piece only the part where he says that Mandela was a communist. And it's a lie. That's not what he said. He said a very clear, very concise, very conciliatory,
Jeff, that goes back to
giving
what
credit.
But that goes back to what I said about having facts and information and knowledge.
Well, the thing is, the thing is, how does anybody else that didn't see O'Reilly say that?
So why is it that we have allowed our media to become that? I'm going to take a break. I'll be
right
back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 10:30, and we'll see you on the other side of our break. Hey, stay
leave the mic
out.
Open, please.
All right.
Oh, God.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
What is a gunny?
A what?
A gunny. You wrote that on the video I posted, and you was like, I'm going to start calling you gunny. I'm like, what the heck?
Gunny diva.
What? What does that mean?
That is a gunny is an E-7 in the Marine Corps. They run things. I put it that way.
I know when you say E7 when you say E7, they're the same thing in the Army too.
Yeah.
So I got it. I was like, oh, okay.
That'd be a sergeant first class in the Army.
Yeah. So did you like the video? What did you think? I got some flack about that video.
I thought it was spot on. People didn't like it too bad, but I didn't see anything wrong with it.
One of my best friends chewed me out.
Why?
Because they're like, because they're like, she's such a sweet kid. She doesn't really give you any real problems. She doesn't talk back. You know, she's well mannered. I'm like, and what does any of that have to do with the fact that she's failing in school?
Not a bit. Not a bit. She got the idea. She got the picture. You know what she can and cannot do.
She got the idea. She's been,
okay.
She's basically been the perfect little angel.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
she didn't get them grades up.
Yeah. If they ever get back to school.
Oh, why not? What happened with school?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. They're talking about, it's like 16 degrees here or something. And it snowed a little bit, so they freaked out.
So everybody's freaked out.
Yeah. I mean, I get our school district is very rural, so, like, the kids have to stand in the cold for a long time. And, you know, like, my daughter has to go out to her bus stop about 6:30 in the morning, and the bus, well, she's supposed to be out there about 6:12, and then the bus gets there around 6:45.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when the parent, you know, you drive your kid to the bus stop or you drive your kid to school because none of the kids walk here in this district. Even the kids who live right across the street from the school, they all get bused. So
Wow. They
didn't want the kids standing out at the bus stops in the morning. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean, I don't have a problem with my daughter being at home. She's been perfect. I mean, spotless
house.
Have to. This room, I'm like, wow.
Okay.
What's the weather like where you're at?
Right now it's like 60-something degrees outside. But
what?
It's supposed to be 18. It's supposed to be 18 tonight.
Wait a minute. How warm is it outside?
It's 61, 62 degrees.
Oh, man. I'm in the wrong state.
I told y'all.
Oh, my God.
I got to get out of Ohio. Yeah, I got to get out of Ohio.
Yeah, but I don't want to go there, where they have possible hurricanes.
No. Hurricane ain't the least of it.
Then what's the worst part about it?
Huh? Well, I don't think you can handle the heat.
Oh, yeah, no, I probably couldn't. See, if I was rich, I could have a winter home in South Carolina. I have a summer home in Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go on that.
No. Just come and live with the kids in the summertime. put them out. Yep, put them out. You have got to. One day I'm gonna get my secretary to come on the line. You like her?
Why?
I could finally convince her that she wasn't a Democrat. She's a libertarian now.
Oh. Okay.
She said she was a liberal at first, but then I finally convinced her. I don't think she's still.
How did you do that?
Huh? I gave her a test.
Oh, and what's your test?
Yeah, the test shows what's your political leaning.
Is this a written test or just a verbal test you give?
No, it's online.
Oh, okay.
You're doing online. I'll have to look it back up. Yeah, but I am in the process of redoing something. Boy, somebody's in deep trouble. You can't do that and expect everything to be okay. Oh, boy. No. But that's okay. That's okay. You have to reveal all that stuff. Uh-oh, here comes the camera. I'm going to have to mute it for a second.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, we're back. Can you listen to Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600? It is 37 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and we're here in the mornings now, and it's always good to be here. I'm so happy to be here in the mornings. I'm glad to say happy good morning to you guys. What, Jeff?
Nothing.
Jeff, aren't you hot?
You are, though, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Ah. Jeff, you're not.
Hey, Tracy.
No, I'm not going through menopause.
Jeff, I'm hot.
That's because you're going through menopause. Turn it back on. I'll turn it back on.
I got a question.
Jeez, Jeff, they're trying to roast me.
Because you're hot.
I'm hot.
I got a question.
Because you're hot.
Hi, Pianchi. How you doing, sweetie?
Don't be high and Pianchi me.
Okay.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here in snow, knee deep to a tall Indian. I can't find my guitar. And all this is because you women. You got me suffering. Jeff, read me a scripture.
Yeah. Let me say something. Let's see. He didn't endure to the end. The same shall be saved.
What? Wait a minute. Why you need a scripture?
So he don't cut you out.
Oh.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hi, Pianchi.
This is the most ridiculous thing I ever seen in a long time. I've been in this one area for 42 years. Never seen snow this bad before.
Oh, you got snow. Do you have a cold?
Yes, cold too. I think it was like minus 2 or 11 or something like that. It was either 2 or 11 that I added 2, 1 and 1 to make 2.
Well, you know, I don't understand. Now, I expect for where we live. I mean, we're in the Midwest. We get some cold weather. But they're telling me Atlanta and Florida's cold. Can you please explain that to me?
It's probably colder than usual. Do you get no snow in Ohio?
Well, it's on its way.
I mean, we got some flurries out here, but nothing.
Yeah, we're only going to get about 3 inches today.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get cold. And
I opened my front door, and I had to knock snow down twice. It was about 3 foot tall.
Really?
Yeah. We haven't had that lately here, but it's getting pretty bad sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, we live in the Midwest. It's supposed to be snowing. Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, Chicago, they sitting up there talking about that, like it's not cold. I mean, I ain't never been to Chicago and it not be cold. Have you?
I tell you what, I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother had sisters that lived in Chicago.
See what
and
I mean?
We used to go up there for summer vacation, you know, when school's out. And I remember being at Grant Park in, like, the latter part of June, I'd have on a winter coat and I'd have on short pants because we was playing. But it was cold at that point in time enough for me to put on a coat to protect my arms and that, but I still had on short pants and sandals or tennis shoes, probably tennis shoes.
That's what I'm
saying.
But,
yeah, it gets cool up there.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, every time I've been to Chicago, no matter what season it's in, it's been cold. You know, I'm not used to Texas being as cold as it is. They tell me Atlanta is freezing. I mean, there's some places that I don't expect for them to be freezing that's freezing. That's what my shock is.
Yeah,
my shock is not.
It's going to be like 74 in today. Who's ringing?
You know, that's
I don't know. It's not me.
That's got to be something.
You got to go to your...
That ain't me.
That is to you. I mean, that's one of our lines.
No, it ain't. That's Oscar line. What's this? Oh, no.
No.
Let's see. Then that's Pianti.
No, that's...
Not...
No, not Pianti.
Okay.
That's Diva. Or you the 407. 407, you still in?
That's Alice.
That was it.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're making a phone call. We should have listened then.
Yeah.
See, we messed up, y'all. We should have listened then.
It's warmer at the South, warmer at O'Hare than it is at the South Pole.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. I'm going to change the subject a little bit. And Pianki, it's good to have you here. We know that Hillary Clinton is a liar. We know that, right? Because remember, she talked about bullets flying across her head when she got off in one of them foreign countries, and Sinbad said, no, that wasn't bullets, that was flowers.
Okay.
Why is she a leading contender?
See, there we go. That's the stuff I'm talking about.
We know, and so we didn't like.
With her daughter, she said she was.
They were hiding from bullets. Remember that? Hello.
That's black folks, black politicians trying to get blacks to get in the mindset of voting for Hillary. I have one that's sending me information on that too.
But my question is, we know she lied. If you know I'm a liar, what makes you think I'm gonna change my spot?
Her husband was a liar.
Okay. Because he didn't... Well, now, come on. Now, Bill wasn't a liar. Bill just wasn't going to go home and get a beat down from
Bill Hillary. Was a liar.
Yeah.
Bill lying now because he's on TV every week talking about, you know, I did this with the economy, and then they tore it up for the next 8 years. And see, here it is. Yes, the economy went down after he threw us into the first part of recession, and then as Bush is managing the recession left over from him raising taxes, then he gets hit with 9/11, and then he has to manage a crisis on our soil that almost destroyed our economy, plus the recession. And he did so well for 6 years.
But what does that have to do with Clinton?
Because Clinton is up there lying, trying to blame it on Bush as if it was all,
it didn't have anything to do with nobody else but Bush. Let me say this. Now, let's be real. I'm going to keep this real.
Yeah.
No man I know is going to say, I did it. You have yet to hear one president walk out the office and say, you know what? This is what I did. Not one. Republican man, Democrat, white, black, Indian, chief, none of them. None of the above. Not even, listen, what's his name? Abraham Lincoln, when they put a bullet to his head, he wasn't going to say it. That's not going to happen. And Bill Clinton, he, if you're talking about his impeachment, you know, you got to understand, Jeff, no man is going to say he slept with somebody if he ain't been home yet.
I understand that. You can't do that. That's not the lie. Those aren't the only lies he told. I mean,
now he lied when he didn't tell Bill. He didn't tell Bush that Osama bin Laden was coming to get him, and he knew it. Now that was the lie that should have been told. That should have been told around the world. That's how 9/11 happened.
Well, see, the thing is I don't know if that was so much of a thing. But it doesn't matter. He's a liar, and he lied to get his wife's campaign things put off, and he kissed Obama's behind.
But my question, well, that, I mean, that's politics. But my question to you is.
It didn't work for some people we know.
That's something different. My question to you is, tell me this. Why in the world would you have a front runner when you know that she is a liar? You know that she lied to the American people. They caught her on tape.
Mm-hmm.
She said that there were bullets flying across her head when she was in Bolivia, I want to say it was.
Not Bolivia, but I know what you're talking about.
And they said, no, baby, that wasn't flowers. That was a band and some flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she the front runner and everybody is drinking the Kool-Aid like they don't think she'd lie? Because if she'll lie about bullets flying across her head, what will she lie about for real?
All the dead bodies that followed the Clintons, they'll definitely lie about those.
Why is she the front runner? Do they not have anyone else that can run?
No, they do, but the thing
so
is...
So why is she the front? Why is she the media darling?
Because the media has made her the darling. I don't think she's in as much demand as they say. But because one day you had Christie behind by 8 points, and then the next day you had him ahead by 3 up against her in the next election.
Can I tell you a secret, y'all?
Mm. Go ahead.
Christie's not going to be the nominee.
I don't think he is either, but...
He may run, and I don't think he'll run.
I think he runs.
I don't think he runs.
Okay, we've got to see that one. I think he runs.
I don't think he runs.
South
Carolina, does he run? I don't think he runs.
Why wouldn't he?
Uh-uh.
Why wouldn't he, though? I mean, if you don't know a reason, I understand. But
I just don't think he's gonna run. I think he loves being wanted.
Oh no, he. Listen, who put a whole ton of money into Christie's last campaign for reelection?
I don't know. Wasn't me.
George Soros.
Here we got to go back to him again. Well, if you got George Soros, he's another Obama fan.
That's why he kissed Bahamas. That's why he kissed Bahamas behind.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to tell you.
During Sandy Hook.
I think Chris Christie will be in the debate. He has to be in the debate. Who else going to be there? You can't have one person standing up there.
Who's going to be there? No, it's going to be other people, but I don't think it's going to be Christie.
Somebody floated Evan Bayh's name as a possible Democrat front runner, and so we'll see what happens. But because to me, Hillary Clinton is dead because of Benghazi alone.
That's what I'm saying. She's not dead because of Benghazi.
I don't know.
No. Because right now everybody's still in love with Hillary, like she don't lie.
The country says that everybody's in. I mean, the press is saying that. I don't know if it's absolutely true.
They said she don't lie. They don't. They she's gonna be the girl. And my question is, why do you put a known liar into the White House, and why do you support them like that? I'm so confused by that.
Because when they lie, it's for the good of the what do you call those people? It's for the good of the a progressive movement and the liberals. That's why they don't care anything about somebody's character if, as long as they're liberal.
So. I was watching last night. I was watching a documentary on History Channel, and it was about the president. And the title was "It's Good to Be President."
Good to be president. I saw some of that.
And they were talking about how Johnson was almost a dictator.
Oh yeah.
And the more we tell people about Johnson, the less they believe. Even the people that were alive to live with it, they just don't believe it. Johnson was the greatest thing since sliced bread. He didn't even like black people, yet he was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Absolutely.
We got him on tape saying he don't like black people.
Got him on tape, and
tell me,
and the guy from the butler told you what the talk was about Johnson.
Kennedy didn't need it. Kennedy was against Civil Rights Act in 1957.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So why is it that we pay allegiance right now to this one side as though they're in love with us? We know.
Johnson told Thurgood Marshall he wasn't going to be a justice, too.
Yes, he did.
So why are we paying allegiance to these people? Why are we bowing down and genuflecting to these people when you know, listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. I don't like you. I'm a liar. But listen to me, because I'm going to sell you some ice water, and I'm going to send you to the Arctic and tell you it's hot and it's going to warm your behind. I need for somebody to explain that to me.
Yeah, I'm serious.
I mean, I look at Johnson, I look at Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
They, from watching this the other night, I'm going, wow, these people really, they come right out and say they don't like you. Hillary comes out and lies straight out for no reason. There was no reason under the sun. And so if she lied about that, she'll lie about Benghazi.
What?
Or tell me, why are we going to, okay, automatically bow down and say, Madam Queen, we're going to make you Camelot because you are my leader?
Protect the lost at every cost.
What lost?
The lost.
L-O-S-T?
L-O-S-T. Those people are lost. But the press will protect them no matter what.
But the people already know, Jeff. We heard it. Remember, there's the Internet. Have you seen the Internet?
Mm-hmm.
Everything on the Internet's real. We've heard the words coming out of their mouth. They've said it a lot. They said it out loud.
I hear you.
So tell me.
Well, we're going to see.
No. Listen to the conversation. Everybody tell me, you don't have a kid who have a candidate that can beat Hillary Clinton. You don't have this that can beat Hillary Clinton. Tell me, why are we going to automatically just bow down and say, yes, sir?
Why? You have to explain that one to me, because I don't understand people, and I especially don't understand black people after they sort of denigrated.
Denigrated? They came straight out and told you this was a fair tale.
Yeah.
And he came back around and patted you on the back and said, it wasn't me, and then said, okay. Hillary broke down and cried.
Yeah, she sure did.
I just need, and the number is 347-945-5522 tonight. I just need for somebody to explain it to me, because as I'm watching this and as I'm watching the history of this, and the more and more I look at the history of our presidents, the more and more I'm finding out that we have messed up the role of president. We've given them too much power. Yet we have these people that we're putting in office, and we know that they're liars, and we're not doing anything about it, and I don't understand why.
We love liars.
No, we don't love liars.
That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and they believe the lie, and they love the lie that they believed in the end time. They love it.
They don't love it.
They love it. They love to be lied to. They love to be told, that something that's not the truth. They want to be told something that's gonna, when it says also that they'll come with itching ears.
I was just thinking of that.
Yeah, they'll come with itching ears. They want to hear that lie come across the TV screen that tells them it's okay to vote for Hillary Clinton.
But the question is, why are we going to follow? I mean, we're talking about people who say that they know the truth. That they're people that say that they want the truth. Why won't they stand up and because the Bible says, for the lack of knowledge, people perish. So if that be true, why are we not standing up and doing anything about it? Because I'm really confused by that. Pianki, help me out. I'm losing it here. We talk about minimum wage and inequality of wages, but we don't tell people to go out and make themselves better so they can go get a better wage.
Well, it'd be against the agenda of those who represent, talking about the African Americans, the ones that represent the black community. They're there for a purpose. Tracy, I mean, we know that. Listen to this story. The story is either minimum wage. The story is better education, but it never comes. You know, how you going to have better education? You don't pay attention to what the parents of the children that's being educated say. You know, they say they want full choice. Oh, no, you don't want that. So, I mean, it's just a continuation of depravity and ignorance.
Yeah, I would agree with the ignorance part, definitely.
But where do we go wrong with this?
Where
did this happen?
Throwing off all societal standards, throwing God out of our consciousness out of our schools, out of our courthouses, out of our lives per se, because at least when you had a God consciousness, you had a God. A God standard of life. You had a standard where it wasn't okay to go screw and have kids and have the government pay for them. You had one where people did find a job and work it till they found a better job. Instead of this, we're going to make you pay me a living wage to work Shining Shoes. That's a good one. Shining Shoes. Shoe shine person. Sit up and shine shoes is worth $12 an hour. You're going to tell me that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We're paying it.
We're $12 an hour.
Let me tell you why. Because finding a person to shine your shoes
is
a very, very limited job.
Yeah, it is. Not too many people are in it.
That's what I'm saying. So
it's
now,
a skill.
It's a skill set now.
Mm-hmm.
So now that used to be a commonality.
But I still
but the question
get...
is my question is, why have we not taught our young boys how to go shine shoes?
Oh, because it's beneath us. We can't teach them to work like that because that's slave job. That's beneath us, the dignity of our people.
I'm going to go take a break in about 5 minutes, but listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
I told you guys that I was out, and as I look around and I see people, who makes a baby intentionally and knows they can't take care of it?
Poor people do.
I met a man, and he told me he had 10 kids, no doubt.
Mm.
Can you please explain that to me?
What did he say?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I'm still in shock, and it's been a couple years now.
Mm-hmm.
What makes a man go out and make a baby, knowing good and well he can't feed the child that he's making, and he does it intentionally? What makes a woman lay down and have a baby?
With a man.
With a man she knows who can't take care of a child if you make one. What makes me vote for a person who I know is a liar? And what makes me marry a man that beats me?
No, I think that's different.
What's the difference?
Well, I think that's...
It's all the same.
Well, I mean, one's the same, but one is, even if you don't feel good about yourself, because the last one was low self-esteem.
And so
when you allow a man to beat you.
And so is me making a baby.
No, not necessarily.
What?
Okay, because a lot of women have babies with the thought, nobody else loves me. This child is going to love me.
Ain't that low self-esteem?
Yes, in a sense, maybe. But that's just, you know, a desire to have somebody love you. Because we don't know. Kids don't, you know, these parents that have come out of poverty. See, poverty is a system that really has a psychological effect on people. I don't care what color these people are, black or white. Poverty has a effect on you, and it always does the same things. It always stops you from learning. It always stops you from making good decisions. You're going to make bad decisions because of poverty. And the thing is our government doesn't help that, and the political structure on one side takes advantage of it.
But we trust the government.
Yes, we do. Way too much.
We trust the government. We trust the people. And again, we're going to vote for people who we know.
You're right.
Me supporting Hillary Clinton, knowing she's a liar, is like me getting married to a man who told me
he's going
to
beat you.
He's going to beat me.
Yeah.
That's just
all through your dating process, he beat the hell out of you and said things to you, that weren't right. This, that, another. Oh, it was nasty to you.
We love my dear, and we watched. I think it was called Family Reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a girl inside of there who was getting beat by her boyfriend.
Beat. Mm-hmm.
And she was going to marry him.
Right.
And her mother was going. And her mother was pushing for her to get married to him, knowing
right.
he was beating him.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same.
Because he had a position, right?
What? Jeff? I got to take a break. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'll be right back.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff work slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
Listening to your radio just got easier. With only a touch, you can listen to your favorite.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. It's called a polar vortex, a whirlpool of frigid, dense air that moves south into the skies over the U.S., the result of bitterly cold weather from Montana to Alabama. Sub-zero temperatures expected to move into the east by tomorrow. More from ABC's Scott Goldberg.
How cold is it? So cold in Indiana, the Indianapolis Star is suspending newspaper delivery on Monday and will bring you today's paper tomorrow, but you can still read it online. In Hardy, Minnesota, they're closing ski hills and skating rinks because of wind chills like these.
50 below the wind chill in International Falls. It feels like 45 below in Minneapolis.
And in Minneapolis, the air temp is 22 below, says ABC meteorologist Ginger Z.
The surface of Mars last week was 20 below, so it's actually colder.
Just no ice fishing on Mars. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
The Supreme Court allowing Utah to put same-sex weddings on hold. This order comes as a federal appeals court considers a federal judge's decision. Judge Robert Shelby ruled that Utah's ban on same-sex marriages violates gay and lesbian couples' constitutional rights. Liz Cheney, the daughter of the former vice president, is withdrawing from the Wyoming Senate race. More from ABC's Jeff Zeleny in Washington.
It had been a rough and rocky start to Liz Cheney's first bid for elective office. In a statement released by her campaign just this morning, she confirmed in her own words that she's leaving the race. She says, "Serious health issues have recently arisen in our family, and under the circumstances, I have decided to discontinue my campaign."
Cheney was challenging incumbent Republican Senator Michael Enzi. Service companies expanded at a steady but slightly slower pace in December, sales dipping, new orders down. That's according to a new report that comes from the Institute for Supply Management. Service companies account for most of the economy. This is ABC News.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, it's a fact that they have the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, and even your freedom. If you've received a letter from the IRS, don't ignore it. Your problem will only continue to get worse. Here's the good news. The IRS has recently released new programs geared at helping struggling taxpayers where you may now qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe, including penalties and interest. Or you may qualify for other special programs. If you're being audited, have years of unfiled tax returns, have a federal tax lien, or worse yet, are being issued a wage garnishment or bank levy, listen carefully. Authority Tax Services expert staff of ex-IRS agents, attorneys, and CPAs can immediately protect you from IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. Call 800-239-3837. That's 800-239-3837. 800-239-3837.
College football, and there's a great comeback story to be played out tonight at the bowl championship title game in Pasadena. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
It's the Auburn Tigers, unranked when the season began, known for last-minute incredible comebacks, and the undefeated, dominant Florida State Seminoles with Heisman Trophy winner Jameis Winston. Auburn head coach Gus Malzahn says his guys are prepared.
We've had some solid practices, and we're just ready for the game to get here and play and see what happens.
Florida State coach Jimbo Fisher.
It's truly a privilege to be in this game, and I think our players understand that also.
Florida State wants to break the SEC's grip on the national championship. The SEC streak is now at 7. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A skiing accident puts German leader Angela Merkel out of action for the next few weeks. She suffered a pelvic bone fracture while out cross-country skiing in Switzerland. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you. and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at Lowe's today.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, it's a fact that they have the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, and even your freedom. If you've received a letter from the IRS, don't ignore it. Your problem will only continue to get worse. Here's the good news. The IRS has recently released new programs geared at helping struggling taxpayers where you may now qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe, including penalties and interest. Or you may qualify for other special programs. If you're being audited, have years of unfiled tax returns, have a federal tax lien, or worse yet, are being issued a wage garnishment or bank levy, listen carefully. Authority Tax Services expert staff of ex-IRS agents, attorneys, and CPAs can immediately protect you from IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. Call 800-239-3837. That's 800-239-3837. 800-239-3837.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Looks like Alex is back up. He's not ringing phones right now. Jeff is in the studio with me, and I am sitting here, and I've just been going over my mind some things that are going on in the country, and I am really, really amazed by what we have and what we are allowing to happen in our country and in our communities. And, you know, this 2014 is going to be your midterm, you know, and they're already posturing for the midterms and for 2016. So here we are in 2014, and we're rushing into 2016, which is 2 years from today. And those of us who are not paying attention to the political scheme we're being motivated and we're being brainwashed subliminally without being notified.
Oh, yeah.
That we're doing this. And so you look at them talking about inequity, and we believe that all things should be equal and everyone should have the same amount of money and the same amount of things no matter what they do. And that's not how America was shaped, formed, and it's not how it works. We're looking at people, I remember the story with Mrs. Clinton, and they said that she was, she said that she was ducking bombs when she got off an airplane and we found
out
it was flowers.
Right.
And yet she's a forerunner, and it's like we've forgotten. We think that all things are good and people wouldn't lie to us, and we believe the news like it's 1960. And it's not. And I'm reading a book right now, and it's a book about the media and power. And they've been manipulating the media for so long that it has indoctrinated us and dumbed us down.
Uh-huh.
And it's really, really sad, and I'm hoping and praying that as people listen to us here on WSLM and listen to Tracy and Friends on Blog Talk Radio, it will wake people up so that they will no longer be asleep. Because the only way that you can wake up a sleeping giant is to hit him in the head. And there are a lot of people out right now, they need to get hit in the throat.
Yeah.
I mean, they really, I'm telling you, they're playing games with the American people more so than you think. And if you don't wake up and smell the coffee, they're going to boil you, and you're going to be dinner. Was it Rapunzel? It was Hansel and Gretel. When the kids got in the pot? Yeah, it was Hansel and Gretel.
Did they make it to the pot?
I don't know if they made it to the pot, but all I know is you keep on turning up the fire. It's called Pavlov's dog.
Oh no, that's the turning up the fire is when you cook. You can put a frog in cold water.
Yeah, the frog in cold water.
Yeah, you can turn the fire up and he'll sit there till he dies because he can't.
Or the like the dog on the chain.
Dog on the chain. Elephant on the chain.
Elephant on the chain.
Yeah.
I mean all these things. I mean, and what they're conditioning people and especially people who are undereducated. And when I say undereducated. For some reason, we think people that do not have degrees are stupid, and they're not. But they've conditioned you to believe that you cannot go think for yourselves, you cannot ask questions. And you're going to have to start asking questions for everything that you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the things that you see, it's a facade. It's not real.
Right.
And I'm finding out what I'm seeing is, I was watching a show called Single Ladies. And Single Ladies is about three single black girls. And it comes on BET, and they're sexually charged, and they all have jobs, but you never see them work. And so they own businesses, and you never see them put the time in. And I think we get our reality from television, and so we think things are like Scandal. And so we think that you get there overnight, you just show up as a character inside of a theater. And that's how work is. And work is staying up late, getting up early, and doing the job, whether you want to, whether you feel like it, or whether it's going to work for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we are biting off our head in actual terms because we're not taking a real look at what's really going to make us successful in life.
True.
And so we're living through this tube that comes into our house, and it's so fictional. It is so fictional. That we don't realize that they're killing us one drop at a time.
Right.
You just don't vote for people because they look good on camera and because they got great buzzwords. And you don't hate another person because I tell you to hate them. You can't live in this clicky moment.
Right.
What, Jeff? What do you watch? That's fine. Let me take your computer with me. No. No, Jeff. No.
That's Hillary Clinton getting fired on Bosnia.
Jeff?
What's his name did that?
Who?
What's the late night guy with the long jaw?
See, she wasn't lying about Bosnia. I told you it was Bosnia. She wasn't lying. She got
talking kids and stuff is
flying over her head. I'm telling you.
That's crazy. Oh,
I see where in Wilmington, Ohio, they complaining about the high unemployment. Companies like UPS and DHL is going out and everything else. What's happening?
Regulation.
Yeah. I mean,
taxes.
They can't.
Business friendly.
And as much
union.
The governor has tried his best to work out those things for most of these businesses. He's bent over backwards to keep them here. And, they can't get around those costs. They're going to go to right-to-work states. And that's who's going to have all the jobs.
So they're going to South Carolina?
Mm-hmm. Going to South Carolina? And see, that's what I'd like to ask my liberal friends. Did Diva leave you?
No, she's sitting in the wings. She can't
be
quiet.
What does she think about that? Because, that is one of the things that's going on in the state. We're losing more people out of the state to Florida every day. I mean, it's not just, every month.
Can you blame them?
No, I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all.
There's no income tax in Florida, is there?
No income, no tax. No tax.
Uh-uh.
And see, and why do you think people are going to these places? Think. This is all I ask you to do. Think.
Yeah.
So why does have no income tax neither?
Who?
I think Texas and Alaska.
Right.
And you have to ask yourself, how is it that these states can balance their budget Now, I know there's a few of them that have some problems, but overall, states that don't have income tax balance their budget.
Texas is not having a problem at all. We ain't found a problem in Texas yet. Not when it comes, they got a problem with immigrants.
No, well, that's what's going on, and they want to dog Texas because of, you know, low grades on this and employment a certain way. You have an unbelievable amount of people coming across the Texas border into that state, able to come and use their social services, able to come and, you know, and do the things that they're doing, the crime and all of the other things that happens, because all of them aren't crime-ridden. You know, there's some hardworking people coming across that border. No doubt about it. But the thing is, those people get inundated with these things. In the school systems, they're trying to teach kids, and you're getting a kid to come in there that doesn't speak English.
Well, the question,
and you have to still educate them.
Well, in California, the courts ruled that you can get a non-documented person can be that's got a law degree that snuck in the schools can represent you in court.
They just won that yesterday.
Say that again. Wait a minute. I'll get confused. I don't
explain
understand.
It to him, Jeff.
Explain it to me, Jeff.
Yeah. This guy that got into the country illegally,
okay,
went through law school and was allowed to pass the bar.
Okay.
Now, there's no way that he should be able to do and practice in America without having become a United States citizen. You're talking about defending the Constitution of the United States of America, and here you have somebody that is a liar, more or less, or a thief. That stole his way through school.
He didn't steal his way through school. He's a part of the Dream Act, yeah?
Mm. The Dream Act
no,
is not
No, he was before
effective.
The Dream Act. Well, I know what you're saying. But, you know, that's what I don't understand. These judges, it's almost literally impossible to stick by the Constitution because these judges, they have their idea of what it means.
Well,
that's true.
The problem with the judges is that they are politically appointed. I think it's a travesty that you see judges that we actually vote for judges, because how can there really be objectivity on the bench if the judges go with the political wind? And this is why the Supreme Court doesn't mean anything anymore. I mean, it goes with the political wind. I mean, we got the Dred Scott case during slavery, and then we get civil rights 100 years later because of the political wind instead of the, going to the letter of the law and the Constitution. So I think that's really one of the things that we really need to change in this country is how judges are appointed, because right now it's very political. And
well, you
know,
President Obama's changing it right now. I thought didn't he change it? The last time I was here, he was changing it. Wasn't he changing it? He's appointing to the bench as we speak.
Yeah,
I don't know. I understand, Jeff. He's changing it, Alan.
He's very dangerous. He overstacked the D.C. Circuit Court so that there's no way.
Well, he is changing it, right?
Absolutely. He has to, because the only way for Obamacare to survive is for him to stack that particular court, because they're challenging it in many ways. And now they don't have the workload that requires to have as many judges as he's putting on that court. And that's what he's doing. He's going to make it work by hook or crook. He doesn't care. He's running this thing as if he is the king, and he must be stopped.
How's he going to be stopped, John?
By law.
Who?
I can tell you
how
he's stopped. One way he can be stopped. I got actually found a point. One way you could actually remove Barack Obama from office, I think. you could remove him by the 14th Amendment. If to the Constitution, if you read the 14th Amendment, Section 3, it says that no one can hold office if they have if they've aided or given comfort to any enemies of the United States. And so the fact that he sent billions of dollars in both military weapons and just money to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, closely allied Pakistani militant groups, or which people think are terrorists, things of that sort. You could probably, I think you should be able to remove this guy, as well as several congressmen, senators, and representatives that voted for such appropriation bills. They should all be removed.
Absolutely.
Well, voting, I can see that they're not going to do it on voting. But the funny thing is that I see where Iraq is asking for more military help. Gary said we're not going to put troops on the ground, but we will consider the main thing that they want, and the main thing that's going to help the friends of many congressmen, that's weapons, defense industry. So this is never going in.
Oh, I understand. I hear you.
Okay. So if it doesn't end, what does that mean for me?
Well, it means this. It means that
more taxes.
You're headed for a country that's going to be looking like it does right there in the streets of Iraq right now, with fighting in the middle of the streets, with insurgencies going on in the country, that they're not going to be able to necessarily put down right away, and you're going to have a lot of people get hurt because they're forcing things. Go ahead.
And you're gonna have to get your quarter ready to use the bathroom in public.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I spent 6 months in Germany, 7 months in Germany, and once I traveled Europe as much as I could. I used to get on. I went somewhere else in the area, either in Germany or France or any place that I could get my little money together to go to for the weekend, I would go and see these countries. And I'm going to tell you what, I kissed the ground when I landed at Kennedy, because there is no place like this was at that time. And we are fastly making this to turn into one of these things, and they're using these faces, these insidious people, to take us there. And I hate to say it.
Depend on your computer.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I have to agree with Alex that the Bush administration wasn't a whole lot better with some of the things that they put in place.
Wow, did I hear that right?
Yeah, you did. Gary Johnson.
I got to clear my ears out. Okay.
Gary Johnson. I'm getting closer.
I got to tell you guys, as much as I do not care for Texas Governor Perry, he's considering the illegal immigrant problem and everything. If you actually check independent school ratings, the best schools in the country are in Texas and in Massachusetts. It's amazing.
Yeah.
In and around the Houston area, the best schools, best performing schools in the country, and they have no income tax, no state income tax. And just last year, they had a $2 billion surplus, from over their budget. So it's just, what were you saying?
What's that? So how did they pull that one off?
It's called the free market, because a lot of those people are, they may not be, strong. A lot of those people are affected by the same thinking that brought, Ron Paul to power out of as a congressman in Texas. There's a strong libertarian free market spirit in Texas, and I think that's the reason why it's so successful.
And you're not talking about public schools, are you? You're talking about independent schools.
Well, both.
In general,
both.
Right?
I'm saying both the schools, both private, and they have the best performing public schools and private schools. It is phenomenal. In and around Houston, I'm talking about. In Houston and Austin, if you look at the top 100 schools, you will repeatedly see, or Fort Worth, Plano, Houston, in and around Houston, Bel Air, Texas. I mean, all the if you look at the top 100 list, you'll consistently see Massachusetts, Texas. You know, just of the best performing schools, and on the public list and the private list, it's phenomenal. So
I've seen some outstanding black schools. And of course, they don't make those lists, but you're absolutely right. And they independent black schools. Now, of course, I have seen some that was public. And funny enough, they always seem to get shut down because of some budgetary concerns. But when people have the ability to choose what's best for their children, you see those type of performances. And I also like to always go back that when you poll black people, when black people are polled, they overwhelmingly say, we want school choice, in particular, full vouchers. But you always got those who come out and say, we should vote for Hillary Clinton. These Vanguard organizations would tell them that, no, you do not want that. And that's wrong.
Well, I don't agree with school vouchers, though. And it may seem like, what the heck are you talking about? But the problem with that, in my opinion, is you're giving – is people, they move to certain districts. They pay their tax money so that their schools are performing at a certain level. But then to kind of give that away to other people who's not contributing to that school district, I think is wrong.
That's not how that works, Alex. I mean, you're paying taxes. You're paying property taxes no matter where you are. The money follows the child. So
yeah, you
the
got
money
some
that
people
would normally
pay
go into a public school system would now go into another school district because they're taking your tax dollars and putting it into that school district. The problem that you have is you've got places like Youngstown City and your inner city schools who are not performing, yet you're still paying that same dollar amount.
Right, and you got some people who don't have children at all is paying taxes. And the dollar amount dollars don't have to be used for public schools. It can be used for whatever you want them to be used, Tracy.
Well, the one thing that I'll say is this. People are very ignorant of things like not looking at the urban prep in Chicago or some of the other ones that you know about, Pionkia, these schools, and patterning the inner city schools on that. You have all of these black all of these black Democrats in all of these little, city positions. Many of them are big city mayors, but do you see them making one move toward changing the school system to help a whole piece of society that could change the face of those neighborhoods? They don't want those neighborhoods changed.
You're absolutely right. You have to ask yourself, there's many examples of excellent programs that these failing public districts will not mimic. They choose to do something entirely else.
And they don't want you to learn.
No.
They don't want you to know any better. They don't want the parents to know any better. They don't want you involved. And what'd you say, Alice?
I just want to make a point that, when you talk about certain school districts, you have some that they're trying to give vouchers to where those parents or those children, the parents of those children, aren't necessarily paying, the money that goes for that child's education is primarily coming from the state and federal level because it's a low-income area. You see, and so it's different when you have another area where those schools are thriving primarily because of local taxes, and it's weird where when you look at the numbers, it'll cost say $5,000 or $6,000 per child on average in like really well performing districts, but then in the really poor districts with awful schools, it'll cost maybe $10,000 to $12,000 per child.
You're absolutely right, Alex.
But now let me say, hold on. Right. Let me play the devil's advocate with this, because as a former Board of Education member, there's a number of reasons for that. A lot of that has to do with the special needs that come out of underserved children, because remember, people that I talked about earlier about people having babies that don't need to have babies. These girls get pregnant and have no neonatal care. And so some of these babies come out, and they're and they are.
What the heck does that got to do with the school board?
It has a lot to do with the cost per pupil, because if you're living in a in an area and the mother has not taken care of that child can have learning disabilities. Those learning disabilities cost more in educating that child than not educating that child. And anywhere that you see a high handicap and or special needs children, you'll see a higher dollar value on the cost of education.
Well, you know, if education was the way it was supposed to be, then you would get to the point where households wouldn't have to depend on public dollars. The two most outstanding districts in our community here is Clayton and Ladue. And, Alex, Clayton and Ladue locally, they spend about 97% of the money that it costs to operate those districts. Very little from the state and nothing, hardly, from the federal government. So when you go to the cities where education is not working, then you see this overponderance of dependency on federal and state dollars. So at some point in time, this stuff has to stop. It cannot continue to go on the way it's going.
Well, I think the solution is similar to like how they do it in Texas, like where you find some of the best schools. They have what's called independent school districts where, you know, you don't have these overarching rules, you know, from the state governing how everybody should teach children and blah, blah, blah. The communities, they do whatever they think is best for their children. And, you know, it basically leaving it at a local level for people to make their own decisions and take responsibility for their own lives and for the education of their children. And we see that that's what works best, not these dictatorial mandates or, you know, edicts coming from above, from the state. Or, you know, Texas went away from that, and that's the reason why their schools are thriving. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you one thing. Here in the St. Louis area, we got two districts, maybe three. Normandy School District, N-O-R-M-A-N-D-Y, Riverview. Years ago, they passed a law that said if your school district is failing, you have a right to put your child in the adjacent school district. Well, just this past semester, you had an outside organization come in and entice the parents to do just that, to the point where they have sent thousands of students out of the Normandy school district, which was all black, and bussed them an hour and a half into white districts. Now, what did they do? And the district Normandy had to pay for the busing and everything else. What is that doing? It has now put Normandy school district in a financial position where by March of this year, they got to shut down because they don't have enough money to operate the district for those who chose not to get involved in their program. That is crazy politics right there. And that's the kind of foolishness that you see.
Because it doesn't fix the problem. But by busing kids someplace else, it does not fix the fundamental problem. Don't move those kids. Allow the parents to fix the problem where they are and kick the, you know, get the government out of the way and make the parents accountable for, you know, that local, well, not necessarily, but, you know, the local community accountable for educating their kids. And I guarantee you they would do a better job than, because when the government comes in and says, you will do this, then people just get apathetic, complacent, and they just expect it, well, I guess the government's going to educate my kid. And that's,
here's the
and
problem.
That's the mentality people have.
Here's the problem. We have become people that are obedient to government. And the thing is the government can come through just like they have this Common Core out here. There are some things in Common Core that can work for people. But by and large, it's a terrible program because the control of the schools is taken away totally from the parents having any input. And they have these things where you – the outcomes and the answers, that if you can show how a question, you got to the end of a question, they'll go ahead and give you some points for that point. That's insanity. This is something that can't be allowed to happen. But the thing is we have all of these schools, all these examples across the nation where you have children that are of color that are winning in these schools. They are going to college 100%. They're going to college and becoming professionals. But yet then you come to a political disconnect somewhere that does not allow them to spread this.
Okay, I mean, let me say it this way, and I got to go back to my thought of this. Head Start has been around 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been paying for this early education program. 50 years ago, children were getting a better education, both in the black community as well as the white community.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are 50 years later. We're still paying for Head Start. We have more people who are impoverished, who are incarcerated. We know that those children cannot read by the third grade, yet we're graduating still more people who are illiterate. Can you please explain that to me?
Well, you think that's something. If y'all think that's something, look at the historical black colleges and universities. The one, and it was a discussion about whether there's more black males in prison than it is in college. And I got to tell him, I said, well, your black colleges, the one with the highest graduation rate is Spelman. It has a graduation rate of about 78%, maybe not even that much. And it's an all-female college. So you can't even look at it as it applies to males. The second one highest is Howard with 64. And from there on down, none of them is 50% graduation rate. And we're talking about not 4 years, you're talking about 6 years. You know who has the lowest graduation rate? That one historical black college in D.C. Its graduation rate is 10%.
Howard?
Is that not? And the reason why, not Howard, it's another one there. I can't think of the name of it.
Oh, okay.
But check this out. It's nothing wrong, Tracy and Jeff. It's nothing wrong, Alex, with the term that's in these schools. It's the people. Another thing,
absolutely,
it's the public schools that these kids are coming out of where they are not prepared properly to enter into a college. In the black historical black colleges and universities, you got professors that's not only teaching the profession that they degreed in, but they are sometimes teaching two and three different degree subjects. That's unheard of in your Ivy League schools. It's crazy, man. It's totally crazy.
Pianki, that's what I said earlier. I talked about that. We have a school here, and it is one of our schools that's rated excellent in the state. And a young lady, she graduated as valedictorian of her class. It's one of the top-rated schools in the state. Now, Youngstown is at the bottom of the ranking, and this school is at the top of the rankings. She graduated valedictorian, yet when she got out of school, she had to take remedial classes inside of the university that she went to. Now, if you graduate from one of the top-ranking schools in the state and you're a valedictorian of that school and you still have to take a remedial course when you go into college, what does that say for the school who's at the bottom of the list?
You know, Tracy, I think that we're looking at this wrong.
Okay.
I know people think they tend to look at, well, when it comes to change, you look at the education and the politics and then, you know, then the business sector, right, or economics. And I would say that that's backwards, especially if you're familiar with Dr. Claude Anderson. Really, what has to come first is the economics, and then the economics is what drives the education, and then that's what gives you power over your political situation. And I think that if you look at just the economics of actual economic activity in this country in the last 50 years, when you look at where we're actually producing things, manufacturing and engineering and so forth, if you look at that, that is a clear indicator of why education has declined. As the economy declines, then education will follow, and that's essentially what it's been. You know, we've had poor monetary policy in this country, government intervention. So then jobs leave, actual productive jobs leave the country, and it's been a steady decline over the last, you know, since maybe even 60 years, but at least for the last 50 years, it's been a steady decline. And so you can see the quality of the education follows, because that's just what happens. Because when you have a good education system, a good economy, you know, back in the day, you could leave school with an eighth grade education, or even less than that, and go out and you are adequately educated to just get a job, work, and most jobs would train you on the job for whatever you need to do. Now the economy is so bad that we're just putting more onus on education. Well, you need to be trained so highly just to get an entry level job, and it's ridiculous.
But you got to understand, we used to take pride in the work that we did. I mean, right now, getting us to actually show up at work and do the job and be productive for the day and then take pride in the job that we do is very, very limited. I'm serious, you can't go out and find a sales clerk that's happy to serve you.
I'm
serious.
That...
When's the last time you went into a restaurant and you saw a waitress who was happy to see you sitting there?
That's
when's the last time
you got to go to the soul food restaurant, that's why. No, that's probably the worst lines. I don't know.
But I'm just saying. When's the last time you went out? When's the last time you went out and you went to a line at the grocery store? And they were happy to see you come in and say hello. I mean, you have to look at the pride that we don't. When's the last time you heard somebody be thankful that they have a job to go to? No matter how much money they make, no matter what they do.
You're gonna get in trouble like
you got.
Now,
what?
I think young people aren't. I don't think young people are stupid. You know, I think that they see that they're also being kind of shafted. You know, in terms of, they see that some people don't have to work hard to get what they have, and so they don't want to either.
But who are these people that don't have to work hard for what they have?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people with privilege in society, and I don't want to go into all
who?
That.
I'm serious. Who are these people? I mean, even the people that I see that have money, they work hard on keeping it. And the other children may be entitled, and they may drive a better car than me, but heck, their parents don't even love them. And if they do love them, they love them with money.
So
the kid is just as crazy as a parent.
That's a good problem to have. I like it.
I don't know. Hey, South Carolina, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy. It's
Hey, Mike.
How you doing? I just had to show up. I just got back in the office. I had an appointment, but I had to show up for the show to help you launch the new time. I just had to. And, Alex, you be kind to her, and never mind none of that commie rot stuff you're giving her. I agree with Tracy. These people, these young kids, it's not that they're stupid. They're undermotivated. They've been raised in privilege, and they are clueless to associate effort with reward. They are clueless. And these people, no matter what you pay them, and we've done experiments with this, Tracy, on giving raises to people to where we overpriced them twice what they would have normally earned, and they still live a hand-to-mouth life. And they still show up late, and they still learn nothing, and they take no initiative. And we've done this as a social experiment in a couple of my companies. You go into a store today, salespeople, they don't know their inventory. They don't know their product. They take no pride. They think they get paid because they show up, and then they leave, and they put the time in. They don't associate productivity or any level of competence with reward.
Whose problem? I mean,
right.
Who's
right. Then Matt,
asking for my opinion, right?
Is that you, Matt?
Hey, Mike.
Huh?
I agree with that completely.
And as far as they see
great.
People with privilege, no. What they see is fantasies on TV, and they think somehow or another that they should be able to be allowed to live the fantasy and have all the bling and the chicks and everything else, and not associate that with, well, there's the rest of the story, because they have nothing to frame any frame of reference. They don't have a benchmark to build upon because none of them, or not, shouldn't say none, most of them have never done an honest day's work just because it had to be done. You got parents who negotiate like labor union leaders with their kids to induce them and seduce them into doing even the most minor things, like even doing their own maintenance on themselves and their own possessions.
You know, I agree with what you're saying wholeheartedly. And there are, and probably at least half of people under, I don't know, under 25 or 30 or something are probably exactly how you just described them. But then there's the, on the other side of, on the upper end of the bell curve, there are a lot of intelligent young people coming up, and they look around and see that, you know, for instance, that they're having to go get college degrees, and go into debt often enough, too often enough to get just for, you know, for meager earnings, for things that they didn't have to before. They require bachelor's degrees just to be an office assistant now, or just they're creating degrees for things that you didn't need degrees for. Right. I'm seeing people getting bachelor's degrees in hospitality and human resources. What the hell is that?
And you know, that's a knee-jerk reaction and defensive mechanism of business, because today a bachelor degree person, by raising the bar to that level, you might get someone who can read and write and communicate like they speak English as their first language. Because, give you the perfect example, Alex, actual facts here, because I've studied this a lot, because we're always trying to raise people in our company. We're always trying to promote from within and everything. Back in if you graduated high school in 1968, you had a 26,000-word vocabulary. The average high school graduate today, assuming they graduate even high school, only has an 8,600-word vocabulary. They don't know words like horizontal from vertical, perpendicular from parallel. They slow you down when you try to communicate, and yet they're the ones screaming they want more than minimum wage. They cost you more money just in the time to explain something to them.
Thank you.
Yeah, but then,
thank you.
Mike,
so blind.
Hey, Ike, Mike, listen to this.
Ma'am.
Alex, I was having a conversation. It's been a little while back. I was talking to a young man. And I was telling him, I said something about, I gave him the word, I think he was a high school junior at the time. And I gave him the word recreation.
Yeah.
And Alex,
he probably thought, I need to create something again, right?
Alex, he didn't know what recreation was.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so
well, you know, that's not really the fault of the child now. That's the fault of society, period.
Listen, if you're talking, we ain't talking about whose fault it is. We're talking about, so if you want to talk about why you have to have a college degree, is because I need you to know what recreation is, and you may not
know
it by the time you graduate from school.
These children don't know whether or not they... These children don't know whether or not they're headed in the direct direction or not, but what they soon will find out, and that's when the anger comes on.
The only words they know is copulation, fornication, and masturbation. Those words they've nailed down this generation. But beyond that, anything else ending in a nation, even the word nation, they don't understand. That's why they're all hung up about protecting the borders.
Organizations that protect
that
type of thing.
Hold on, Bianchi. Hold on. Alex, go ahead. What were you saying?
I'm going to tell you, I know people with graduate degrees that you still don't understand what they're saying, and they still can barely read and write. And so
But do they know engineering, Alex? Alex, do they know engineering? They speak a foreign language. They barely speak English. But when you ask them for a calculation when it comes to engineering, can they give me that?
Well, there's those guys, but I'm talking about regular Americans that – who have bachelor's degrees and master's degrees, and it doesn't prove anything. I know, you know how many stupid people I've run across that even have PhDs? The problem is just it's pandemic in the society, and I don't really think, at a certain age you have to take responsibility for your own life, but a lot of these young kids, I don't blame them because the whole system is messed up, because I know grown adults who have graduate degrees, more education than I do, and they still stupid.
You're absolutely right about that, Alex.
But you can't educate yourself out of stupid.
Well, some people can now. They can do that.
People who never had any educational opportunities, like Bill Gates, who drops out of college, like a lot of people. You know, you look at who's the CEOs, and you look at who's on the Forbes 400 list, and you look at who the CEOs of the Fortune 500, who 90% of them are, and you look at what their educational background is, and you look at some of the newest millionaires and everything in this country. It's not your college. It's not your advanced college educated PhD people.
What kind of education did the person have?
Pardon?
What kind of education do the people have that thought of that you got to have an 850 credit rating before you can get a job?
That's another defensive mechanism because of business. I can give you the exact reason on that. Because your insurance company comes in and says, you have all these high-risk employees. Well, what do you mean high-risk? Well, they all got low FICO scores. That puts them high substance abuse. That puts people who are in that realm of a credit score, puts them at irresponsibility, criminal activity. They're more apt to steal from you. They're more apt to be slipshod with safety procedures.
Let me clarify.
That FICO score is a pretty good indication of personal responsibility and accepting it.
I absolutely reject that, and this is why. Because you have an idiot in the White House that is killing jobs left and right now. And then are you going to hold on to your FICO freaking score when you can't have a job because he's killing them? And then
FICO score doesn't say anything about you except how you manage debt.
It has nothing.
No.
It has nothing to do with it, Mike.
When you lose your job, I said it at the beginning of the show. When you lose your job, unemployment does not help you. If you make $80,000 a year and you lose your job and you can't go find another $80,000 a year, and your mortgage is $4,000 a month, you know that severance that you had or the savings
that
you had.
You sell the house immediately. You put it up for sale and you walk away.
In 2008, how much do you think I was going to get for my house?
Doesn't matter.
And who was going to buy it?
You find a buyer and you negotiate a cramp down. This is what sophisticated money people do.
Sophisticated money people don't buy
you're
houses.
You're defending the people who are credit irresponsible.
You're talking about Tracy,
I was the victim of a financial crime 5 years ago. I was completely wiped out of 30 years of work.
My signature was used to put my name
on over $1 million worth of loans and stuff. I was
and your point is, had no money coming in.
And you kept your credit rating at a 750?
No, I didn't keep my credit rating high. No, it got killed. I looked worse than the worst
were you a credit risk just because of what happened to you?
Yes, but the world said I was. But you know
and
what?
The question
you don't
is,
need your FICO score to rebuild yourself.
We're not using it, Mike. We're not talking about it as a crutch. But when you need to go out and get something, if you got to buy a car, it's kind of hard to buy one.
They raised my homeowner's insurance because that FICO score went down.
Well,
Mike,
the worst thing happened, Mike, is that you became a risk because you come listen to Tracy and Friends.
Exactly.
Mike, you can't do that, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm one of those that went in that situation, and not only that, when I lost the job, immediately I had to go take care of my father that had Alzheimer's, and immediately
I was in the same situation.
Whether you was in a situation, I'm not no freaking bad risk because of that.
But they put
you put everybody in that bag.
Come to you, and they have statistics, and they have the law of large numbers, and more people with low credit scores. Not because you had an event, because a credit person will look at that event, and you have the right under the law to put a statement
on
credit.
No, they don't.
If they see you had a stellar score, and then
they
see you had a 1 or 2 year slump,
No, they don't.
People go through years of never having bad credit, have always paid their bills on time. I'm talking about 50 years, and something happened to them, and you can't get them to negotiate
a
rate with you to pay your credit card.
My bank, who I never had a – listen. My bank, who I never was late paying, period, never missed a payment, period, would not even consider rewriting my loan? How does that help? How does that work for you? This is not. It should not be used. It's a bad thing, especially when you have other idiots controlling the economy where you cannot do a doggone thing about it. And
but if you got the money to pay cash for everything,
relationship with your banker or anybody, they will make an analysis. And here's what
that don't do any good.
Mike,
let me tell you something, Mike.
The good people.
Mike, let me tell you something. You ain't no
personal bankers today.
If you, they don't live in your neighborhood.
I'm talking about the people that have a 10-year history of nothing, never being on time or anything else. I'm not talking about the rare cases like you, Jeff, and me.
No, that's not rare. That's very real. Now, 1994, I had 20% down, and I had excellent credit. They still wouldn't loan me a dime to build a house. I had to go and have a friend of the family walk me through being able to build my house. Now,
did you get a shot?
Let me ask you a question, Mike. A person that's got $50,000 in a debit card account, you think they should be able to get a credit card if they want it?
They will not give you a credit card.
I mean, a person, like if you go to rent a car,
you don't have to rent a car. You need a debit card. They're the same thing.
A debit card, but listen, but you have to produce a lot of other paperwork with it, like bills and so on, so on, so on. But the case is that if a person's got $50,000 in a debit card account, why come the bank won't give them a credit card? Because they're using all their money all the time.
No, they won't give it to you because the credit score is still beat up. But I've been functioning without credit cards for 5 years running my business.
Mike, we're not saying you cannot live without a credit card, but we're saying when you have a low credit score, it affects everything from your car insurance.
Of course it does. It affects your life insurance because you're more apt to commit suicide, do drugs. It affects your homeowner's insurance because
and you
people
say it's
with lower
okay?
credit scores, you have lower educational levels.
And you say it's okay?
No, I didn't say it was okay. I said it's the way it is. But the question originally was, well, why should businesses care to give you a job if you have a low score? Because you are perceived to be a person of higher personal risk to have as an employee.
And not only that,
as an
African-American, I'm perceived to be a person of high political risk, too.
I'm going
to
go on
the original question. I'll be back tomorrow.
The price you pay for your pizzas should be higher since you contain all those risks.
You see what I'm saying? Right now, they treat a fat person like, you know, they on crack, too.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. It's going to be freezing outside. You guys aren't going anywhere. So, listen, tune in to Tracy and Friends here at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll be here on Tuesday. Again, the number is 347-945-5229. I got 5 minutes left. I got 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And I got a couple bills to pay. I'll see you on the other side.
Care professionals, is your practice accepting new patients?
Hello. Didn't say it was fair.
Yeah,
just saying
them credits.
You asked about business. Why should it matter about whether or not you get a job? Because it's just been proven that people with those lower scores have higher crime records and everything else. And if you have a job that involves where you have fiduciary responsibilities like little old lady's money and stuff like that, you got to take those things into consideration.
Well,
it's crazy.
I mean, it is really ignorant to use credit scores in order to make those determinations. That's all we're trying to say.
I agree.
But the country is
what they're doing.
The United States is headed to a hellhole, man. I'm telling you, it really is.
Yeah, I hear you. First of all, let's have the real debate about the credit score. It's an illegal record being kept about you. You never asked for that file to be opened.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's an illegal record. It's another. You know, everybody's jumping them down about the NSA. What about the MIB? You don't even know but most people don't even know what the MIB is. That's a 40-year-old record on you. It's called the Medical Information Bureau. Long before there was the Internet and long before there were FICO scores and all that, the insurance companies were swapping information about your medical background.
Yeah, that's why I a lot of times I won't even use my insurance because when you use your insurance, a lot of times doctors are forced to enter things into the database, and I won't even I only put regular checkups, like, on my insurance. If there was anything outside of just regular checkups, I just pay with cash or, you know, tell them don't even use my insurance. You know,
exactly. It didn't happen. Yeah, and you can do that if you can get a concierge medicine doctor who worked for the CIA. Keep it all off the record. Meet him in Colombia somewhere in the woods, you know. but I do understand, because the statistical probability of, not talking about Jeff, but people with low credit scores and a history of it. I'm not talking they fall on hard times for a year or two, because most lenders can look around that. Okay, there's an explanation.
Yeah.